participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And Mike's the loser today.
Oh, I was reading about the Yankees.
Mike's the loser today.
Yeah, sorry Yankees. About that.
Oh, and speaking of that, here we are. It is June 10th, and how many games in front of the Red Sox are the Yankees?
Three and a half, Don. 3.5 after the Red Sox lost to the Padres, and the Yankees beat the Colorado Rockies last night.
Hey, that's that's a nice sack that you keep your headphones in.
You know, I...
That's a very dainty sack.
I didn't ask for the sack. Comes with a headphone. Everybody should have one.
Well, look at Buzz's. Hey, Buzz, are you eating?
Just a mint, a lovely mint. Fresh Buzz, breath for the show.
What we should call him today, Paulie Walnut.
Hey, Paulie.
You know,
how can you never come to tea me, T?
All he needs are those Puma pants and some gold chains.
That is such a good finale. I watched it again. Watched it again in its entirety.
Those Puma pants from those jogging suits.
Gold chains and suspenders.
Suspenders, right. Yes.
Right. You never come to tea me anymore, T.
Actually, I would say that, Buzz, while we're all... Hey, we all fit the profile today.
Hawaiian shirts
we're
today.
We're all wearing Hawaiian shirts today. Let's have a... Hold on. For goodness sakes.
Where a is salute it? For Hawaiian shirts?
Yeah, I'm looking for just the...
Well, were you going to play Hawaiian music?
No, just the chime thing, but the thing is...
How come you don't come to see me anymore,
well,
T?
Look at that.
Why, this is the pre-show.
Press no disrespect.
Press the buttons, nothing's happening. Look at that. Number four. Button number four. Nothing.
Well, it seems to be broken.
Seems to be some sort of malfunction.
Let's reset it.
Thanks, Rob. Why don't we reset it?
Yes.
Welcome to the pre-show. Anyway, here we are, Mike.
I was late today. I was partying.
No, don't care about that. It's
okay.
June 10th, and your team is 5.5 games out right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, technically you're right, yeah.
Because our bet is that the Red Sox, you're saying the Red Sox will win the American League East by 2 games.
I will tell you something. No, I shouldn't.
Oh, no.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Go ahead.
No, because it'll ruin the season for me.
Think about giving Tom Gavin.
An early payoff? No.
No. I'm not.
That's what I was thinking. I'm talking to myself here.
Oh, I see.
I was thinking about that, and then I said no, because that'll ruin the season for me if I do that. I, you know, because you never say die.
No, I wasn't going to offer or even say you should just cave now. I mean,
it was a big win for the Yankees last night.
It is only June.
And it overshadowed the fact that their one of their mainline pitchers, Kevin Brown, left the game with a bad back.
Think about Tom Gavin laying naked on a table.
I do. I actually...
Your hands
this morning,
on his feet, on his shoulders.
The Red Sox got blown out last night with the return of Nomar Garciaparra. And I was actually thinking about that when I looked and I saw that 3.5. Because I processed it exactly the same way. That it's actually 5.5 games.
Correct.
After that, because I said the Red Sox would win the division by 2 games.
Because you are a visionary. You are quite verbose.
I am a visionary.
You're quite verbose
and
about
you can
that.
Take that lead... And shove it up your big fat... There you go.
Hello.
Ah, hello there, Mr. Shannon.
Hello. I'm Detective Michael Scott Shannon.
My name is Milburn Drysdale.
Want some groaners?
I'd love a groaner, Mr. Shannon. Can you share one for me? Well, I really don't want one, but I'm asking anyway.
Sure you do. What store do gay men in Mexico love to shop at?
Juan something.
Pier Juan.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry to wreck it for you, Mr. Shannon.
What do older cows have trouble with?
What, Mr. Shannon?
Bowel movements.
Wow.
What do you call a motorized bicycle ridden by a cow? A moped.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, 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 boy. It is so...
What cow was once a heavyweight boxing champ? Muhammad Ali.
What, did somebody go to the book?
What's the top real estate company in Mexico? Century 21.
Okay. Now, because you've given us so many of the wands, I have to laugh at that one.
What do you call a Hispanic female cow?
What?
A muchacha.
Oh,
Those are horrible. That's why we call them groaners, Mr. Shannon.
What?
Are there more?
What's the most popular soap opera in Mexico?
One life to live. There we go.
Okay.
Hey now.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
We are. There you go. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Up
to the
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi.
Right.
A true enemy. Himself.
Right.
A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Client Meeting. And all the ships at sea. Still suffering from Rotunda-inspired sunstroke.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to say. Don Geronimo and Mike Bumera.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hello.
Hello.
There you go. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Julia. Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening to Don and Mike's show. New episode on this Thursday. 06-10-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz. And yes, it's June 10, 2004. Call us from anywhere in America, please. 877-365-3636 from Canada. 800-636-1067.
All right.
Washington, D.C. on WJFK FM. 202-432-1067. Let's take a moment to check in and see what's happening with Reagan. He's still just laying there.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Nothing's happened.
No. Lots of coverage.
All day. But let's go back and check and see what's happening.
Okay.
All day.
What's happening is...
No change.
Still sleeping.
Still dead.
Mm-hmm. Still sleeping. Mm-hmm. And how about... Boy, am I proud of our nation. And especially of our nation's capital.
Yes.
What I'm seeing more and more now is they do the live shots down there with the anchors, the very somber anchors.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the moron with like the Dr. Seuss hat on. The Dr. Seuss Uncle Sam hat.
Right.
Who's behind him giving like shout outs to his friends because he's on a cell phone.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. The culture of what it is.
It's like a Super Bowl.
It's the culture of celebrity in America. I would say you go into that line, you get about 50% of people that would be like, it's the thing to do.
Yeah, you know, we joked about it yesterday. You know, they really could make a killing, if you'll pardon the pun, with, you know, preferred funeral tickets.
Because ultimately, absolutely.
That would become what everyone needed to have.
But Rob, that's reserved for the insiders.
You see, I disagree with you guys. I just can't get enough of Dan Rather saying something and having Bob Schieffer say yes.
Right. And it's worse here with the local station because they feel it's their story. So on Channel 7...
You're not a fan of Doug McElway?
Well, always, Mike, even when he was... before he got fired from Channel 4.
And guess who Channel 4 had down there today? Guess who it was?
Ooh. I know. Was it Venetia? Was it...
Megan McGrath.
Da Vinci Veneer, Megan McGrath?
Yeah. Megan McGrath.
Piano key teeth?
Yes. Megan McGrath reporting live with her teeth.
There's this girl on Channel 4. No wonder she's only on in the morning, like when a row house burns down or when a car is driven into it in a bug, whatever GIF wanted to do.
Sure, and she does the occasional, the typical story. She's at the airport around Thanksgiving
time.
But
she will never get a studio assignment.
I don't believe so.
Never, just because the team...
You know, we could be wrong.
She needs...
Who's to say she maybe has been in that anchor chair and we didn't know it?
She needs tooth reduction surgery. She needs CRS now. She needs someone to file about an inch off those babies.
Amen. Those teeth are excellent. They offer excellent reception on a remote shot.
So all the stations here in D.C. where we do the show from... They're wall-to-wall on this.
Yes.
And I'm not kidding when I said, like, on Channel 7 today, and they've got all the graphics, you know, remembering a president. Channel 7 will be here with you. You know, all the other stations are trying to cover this, but we're covering it the best.
They're competing.
Because we're Channel 7. And at one
point... Which is so classy.
At one point, they actually said on Channel 7. And let's go to the Capitol now to see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the shot, it's the silent shot.
Right.
You have the guys that are on guard.
The honor guard.
Shift every half hour.
A lot of silent
And people who are waiting very reverently
in
line.
When you say they shift, do they replace them every half hour?
Every half hour.
Okay.
So that's the only move. Other than that, it's just people that are coming in.
Right.
And it's like, what are you going to do? Let's see what's happening at the, like, here would be news. Let's go to the Capitol. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the Capitol.
where he has just opened the coffin.
He's risen.
And climbed out.
He's risen.
Yeah. No, that doesn't happen.
Well, they're there just in case.
Hold on, here's a good one. Matthew in Buffalo. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, how's it going, Don and Mike?
It's going great.
Great. Well, I tell you what, I kid you not, I got home and I was watching CNN yesterday, and I swear to you, as they're panning through the crowd of all the people there, I saw like three or four guys without their shirts on, and they're sitting there. It looked like they're drinking beer. I mean, it looked like
they were. Something. I'm telling you, it's like a Super Bowl, or it's like
it's weird.
It's like the 4th of July party.
I don't think that happened at the last state funeral, do you? That was the last one was 30 years ago.
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't think that happened. You know, I was looking for Snoop Dogg for Funerals Gone Wild.
Could still happen.
That chimes for you. Thank you, Matthew.
I think the environment is more like the infield at Pimlico for the Preakness. That's the feeling I get when I watch it.
Yeah, but sure now, there's nothing that compares to the infield at Pimlico.
I would say that it certainly is not like Daytona.
Right.
But I would say that the crowd is very NASCAR-ish.
Sure, and a lot of people are a little charged up because they have a day off tomorrow.
I mean, and you know, when I'm watching it on TV, I see for every three or four people that I see dressed in suits or, you know, hey, what guy doesn't look good any day, I don't care how hot it is, in a button-down, short-sleeve shirt.
Amen.
With what looks like a clip-on tie. You know, yes. There's no better look that says, I'm living in the year 1962.
Bingo!
But anyway, there would be like three or four of those guys. And then there would be, you know, kids with the sideways hat and lots of kids wearing SpongeBob and people that were selling shirts. Now, they weren't selling shirts that said Reagan funeral.
Right.
They were selling shirts, and they had to be selling because there was a group of people all wearing them, and the guy holding it up in the back. It's just Reagan's picture, and it says Reagan, the legacy. Yeah. So,
and then the dates,
the tribute.
The years.
Yeah, like whatever it was to 2004. Mm-hmm. So I don't doubt that they're bootleggers down there.
Right.
I don't think that it's like officially licensed.
No, but it is the kind of event that gets everybody down there, a la the 4th of July. So you're going to have that.
Guys with R's painted on their chest.
And I know that you guys around the country will not get this. If you get the Tom Shales column in your newspapers, the syndicated version that gets sent out takes out the local references.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But this guy, Tom Shales from the Washington Post, today, what he did was beautiful. He's writing about Channel 5, the local station, saying pretty much what we're saying, that they're all carrying on about this like it's something ridiculous. And one of the anchors said, I want to tell you what it's like down here at the Capitol. If you've ever been to Disney World,
wow,
you will know what this is like.
So is that what the anchor said?
Would you give me the style section? Yeah. You got it over there? And then his one-word response was something like, you know, ridiculous or sucky or whatever Tom Shales wrote. But I mean, that's the essence of it.
Yeah, if Disney ever had a state funeral, I suppose. But it's the happiest place on earth.
Are they talking just about the line factor? Is that
the only thing I wish is that he would out the reporter. Here you go. Okay. Washington's often overeager local stations stayed with network coverage, blah, blah. Between 5 and 6, channels 4, 5, and 7 decided to make it a local story, and unlike the network, squeezed in as many commercials as they could. Also, the giddy weather reports and inane remarks, none more inane than that of a Fox 5 reporter stationed at the Capitol, anticipating a big crowd. Quote, if you've ever been to Disney World, he told viewers, you've probably got an idea of what they've got going here.
Wow, what an idiot.
And then Tom Shales, one word, starts the next paragraph. Revolting.
Yeah.
Anyway, what the hell's wrong with it? And it's like it's a festival now.
Yeah, it's a circus.
It's a street party now. You know, we're now they're just announcing on TV, listen, everything is shut down tomorrow.
Right.
Don't even bother coming down. Enjoy your three-day weekend.
Right.
Everything is closed tomorrow.
For Reagan and, Fest.
For Reagan Fest. And Robbie Spiewak.
Right.
Was talking to me today, and listen to this now. Don't kids really say the best things?
They really do.
Now, how old is Julia?
Julia is 3 and a half. She will be 4 in December. So, yeah, 3 and a half.
All right, now this is Julia.
Hello.
Okay, that's Rob's daughter.
And I know I'm biased, but she thinks a lot. She's a smart kid. And Carrie and I were watching the funeral last night. Carrie, my wife.
Your wife, Carrie.
And we were watching the funeral, and Julia was playing, and she looked up.
I mean, you were watching the, because the funeral's tomorrow.
The
pregame. The pregame.
Last night.
The pregame. Right. It's the, da-da-dun, da-da-dun. Da-da-dun,
the lying in state.
Exactly. And Julia came up, and she said, Daddy, she said, no, go ahead. okay, she said, Daddy, who's getting married? Because she'd seen video of weddings and stuff, and it looked sort of like that. I said, no, it's not a wedding, darling. It's a funeral where a man named Mr. Reagan has passed away, and he's gone to heaven. And, you know, because you don't want to...
Right, exactly.
And so what she said to me was, what's in the box?
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like a child.
And I said, well, that's what's funny. What's in the box?
Hello?
Mr. Reagan's body is in the box.
Right.
But his soul went to heaven.
There you go.
And she looked at me very blankly. And Carrie jumped in and helped out. She says, it's like all the love that was in his heart went to heaven, and his body's in the box. There's another pause, and she says, where's his head?
I hate to bring up a terrible time in our nation's history. Well, I was 5 years old when President Kennedy was shot.
Right.
And I remember when they were talking about the body, the body, the body. When you're a little kid, that's how you process it. When you hear the body, you say,
Where's my head?
You separate between the head and the body.
What's in the box?
Right? And that's a perfectly little kid.
And see, this is where we're different as parents. You know, I said candy.
It's a box full of candy. That's very bad.
Why burden a three-year-old with death?
I think the way Rob handled it was proper.
It's a box of bunny rabbits.
So said, you know, ironically, his head is still attached to the body, but his soul's in heaven.
There you go.
And so then she went on, and this morning she came down, and of course it's back on TV. She says, look, Mr. Reagan.
Yeah.
I mean, so she follows it, I guess. I don't know.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to 16th Street Constitution Avenue. Reagan Fest, day three. We'll have our field reporters out. Fox Cam will be out.
That's the way it's not far away from the way the local networks are, the local stations are covering it.
We're going to check in right now, see what's happening at the Capitol. You're looking live at the Rotunda.
What's the atmosphere like, Don?
Nothing's happening. Hold on, I'm getting this word. Jillian Barbary says, mostly sunny. Stand by for Frank Caliendo and his crazy take of this day.
And what's the atmosphere? It's similar to what?
Disney World, a Super Bowl. You're watching Reagan Fest 2004 on CBS.
Kind of like those local stations. Don?
Yeah, Mike.
That was revolting. The Azalea Line Street.
The Azalea Line Street.
Yes, Jim Nance.
A circus line, circus atmosphere, friends.
Friends, Jim Nance here as we speak. The body's still lying in state. Now the clock on the screen tells me, yes, President Reagan has been laying here now for over 4 hours. The vigil continues here at the Capitol. Reagan Fest 04. Make sure you get your Uncle Sam hat and your T-shirt.
Man, it is really different. It's different than I think any one of these has ever been. And it's because of the way it is now. Mm-hmm. With the hype machine and, what was the nature of Shale's article is that the networks are covering it with kind of just letting it happen.
A lot of times doing like
little reminiscences.
What's best
like
during a sports moment is when they shut up and just let the moment
happen.
Which
is really the way they should cover it. But the local stations are more like, hey, it's like Disney World out here.
Channel 5. With that, and you know, I don't think they have. They didn't watch Channel 5, but I can only imagine if they sent that hyperactive poodle, Holly Morris, down there.
Oh, my God.
I'm Holly Morris on Channel 5, and I want to tell you, Reagan's dead. He's been dead about 5 days.
There's plenty of water down here.
And you want to hydrate yourself now. I'm Holly Morris at Channel 5.
You know how Holly Morris would handle it is they would let the somber stuff happen, but let's go to Holly Morris, who's learning how to embalm bodies this morning.
Yeah, that's Holly Morris.
But look at the lighter side of the
She's
Reagan.
She's at a funeral home. Holly?
Friends, it's Jim Nance as we continue the coverage of Reagan Fest 2004. That's the Capitol. Thanks for grieving with America's most watched network,
Shale's
Race. CBS.
On CBS, Bob Orr ran into trouble when filling time by interviewing the proverbial and often vapid, love that word, man on the street. This one said,
well, as we found out yesterday with Joe, Joe was a genius compared to the people that he was interviewing.
And here it is. And this is it. This says what it is nowadays. This one said with an unfortunately dopey grin, it's just exciting to be here.
That's right.
That's the attitude down there.
Glad
really.
To be anywhere.
And a woman on NBC, we didn't think we'd ever have another exciting opportunity like this. What is wrong with people?
Hi, friends. It's James Brown. Let's think back to the year of the Super Bowl Shuffle. The Chicago Bears. 1985, as they won Super Bowl number 20 against the New England Patriots. It was the Fridge scoring in the fourth quarter.
Buddy Ryan and Mike Dick being taken off the field. Who was president at that time? The man you're looking at now, live. Strike that, not live. You're looking live. He's not live at the Capitol. It's Reagan Fest on Fox. We'll continue with our coverage of the funeral of Ronald Reagan. This reminder, Paris and Nicole are back in an all-new episode of The Simple Life 2, following the Reagan funeral on most Fox stations, except on the West Coast, where you will see another edition of Completely Lame Groaners.
God, it's like that.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's no surreal.
It's just, it's the way things are now. It just doesn't seem right.
Fox Tracks, taking you around the country. Let's go live to Pat Summerall in Dallas. Pat, can you tell us, you've cheated death recently. What's death all about?
I don't remember.
Wow.
But that's what we're dealing with.
Yep.
That's what we got.
You ever been to Disney World?
That's the local reporter. Idiot.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
Unbelievable.
So anyway, that's what's happening. It'll be happening here, and it'll be happening on your TV for days. Now here's Terry, I think. Terry, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Radio Gods.
Howdy.
My question is actually to Rob.
Yes.
Rob, when Julia was questioning you, wouldn't the proper response have been, Julia, regretfully, Mr. Reagan has passed?
Yeah, actually, I guess you're right, but sometimes it's hard when you're freaked out to give the right.
Yeah. When you're a freaked out parent, and there's a crucial moment, can
I think
understand
he did,
that.
He did just fine.
Yeah.
Matt Rogers. Whatever has happened.
Matt Rogers, the American Idol guy?
Matt Rogers, that's right, the American Idol guy.
Regretfully.
Still alive, but regretfully not in the touring American Idol show.
Yeah. Any word, any news? Has anything changed at all?
Find out right now.
They contacted him.
We'll call him right now.
All right, find out how he's doing.
Because remember, he was the background on this. He was one of the 12 dopes that were the finalists for American Idol, the show that I was gay for and everybody was gay for.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were going to go out on tour, mm-hmm. and then they told him at the last minute, hey, we're only taking 10, not 12.
Yeah, and he was kind of bummed out about that.
Hello, Matt.
I can help you.
Hey, Matt, it's Don and Mike. What's happening, dude?
How you doing, sir? Hold on, let me get out of this car. I have to talk low.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. who knows what he's doing?
Matt, it's not a police car, is it?
I'm going to get out of the car now.
doesn't it sound like a police radio?
Yeah. Sounds like maybe he's in a police...
All right.
Matt?
Yeah, I'm back.
Matt, you're not... That wasn't a police car you were in, was it?
No, I was in my brother's car. He was talking to the president of his company, and, you know, my brother's like the nemesis. He's like my dad. I can't talk loud or it'll hit me.
Wow. Hey, that's a plausible explanation there.
So, Matt, I think it was 2 days ago that we spoke. You know that website, that petition website for you, it's very hard to get into that. And the Idol on Fox... I went to idolonfox.com and had to click through like 8,000 barriers
just to get to the petition.
Yeah. What kind of response are you getting from people? Have you heard from Fox?
That just shows you guys how important I am. They're trying to lock me away.
Are you kidding? Have you heard anything from Fox? Does Fox know that you're pissed that you want to go out on tour?
Everyone knows, and it's got nothing to do with Fox. First of all, I appreciate everything you guys did for me, because after you ran that show, I had something like 1,000-something hits, so... That was greatly appreciated. I know we would have had more if it was easier to get to.
Yeah, we would have had a lot more if it was easier to get to. It was very difficult to navigate.
You know, that's very true. As a matter of fact, whatever the address was, what a fag I am. I went to the American Idol site, and then I click on, like, Matt Rogers.
Right.
One of the 12, and I go down and scroll
trying
down,
desperately to help his cause.
And it just gave the, it said, click here.
Right.
So I didn't have to end up going to whatever it is, petition online.
Right.
And I just was able to add it to my favorites list, but it would be, like, impossible to just type in.
I love that, too.
No.
The favorites list. I just like the way that sounds.
Well,
who's your producer that calls and sets me up with you guys?
Beth Ann,
yeah. She's got the website that you guys could have, because, I mean, I don't even know it off the top of my head.
All right.
She has it, but, dude, I was totally, I mean, like, everyone at Fox knows and wants me to go. Everyone at Fox is on my side. Everyone at American Idol is on my side. It's just, it's 19 management. Everything's in their ballpark now, and it's just like...
Well, then why don't we find out, I mean, if you don't mind, I mean, this would be the way to go, to find out whatever the email is for this company 19 management.
Yeah, we could probably do it that way.
And have people bombard them that way.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel about that?
I would love you guys.
Okay.
Well, I think that anything, dude. I appreciate all you guys are doing, you know what I mean? Because obviously I want to pee on it and I want to have a good time, you know?
I think you pleaded your case very well the other day. You were on the show. They told you you were doing the tour. It's $220,000.
And we are believers that they work you guys to death. You're out there. You know, you're dealing with the rejection. You're dealing with the American public. And you ought to get a little payoff at the end of the road.
Buzz, do you have the address?
No, I don't yet. Okay, I'm eager to get it.
Someone will find the address. But listen, you know what? Go back with your brother. Let us give out the email address for this production.
Is that the name of it? 19 Management.
Yeah,
they're not the ones.
A lot of things. A lot of people that were getting on there, they're like, kind of like typing dirty stuff and stuff. So if people do it, just tell them to type their name. You know, they don't have to put a comment.
Yeah, no. And is 19 Management like the management that handles those boy bands?
No, I don't know. No, they handle all the people from American Idol.
Okay.
It's an in-house thing.
Yeah. Right.
And didn't I tell you already? Don't read those message boards. Just know the people are there. Know they're there.
If I wouldn't have read that message board, I probably wouldn't have sang that gay song that got me kicked off. I probably would have sang something more powerful like Toby Keith.
There you go.
With cowboy hat on and freaking did my thing.
Hold on. Are you telling me that really your song choice was influenced by what you saw some dopes write on a message board?
It was just everyone. It's like, you know, because the week before that, I went out there in that flaming blue shirt, and I danced around, and, you know, like Tom Jones, and everyone liked it. And then the next week, they're like, well, you know, Matt, like, you know, everyone, family, friends, everyone around you, producers, like, you know, America saw, you know, that you could perform. Now they want to hear the vocal soft side of you. So I said, all right.
Big mistake.
Oh,
yeah, right.
Sing him a lullaby.
Yeah. Awful. All right. Matt, best of luck. We're going to give out this 19 thing, and if you don't mind, it's going to be our quest to see if we can help you get on this goddamn American Idol tour.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
Okay. Hey, Matt.
I say what's up to my cousin Keith and everyone at Black & Decker over there.
Sure.
They've been really hooking me up and supporting you guys. I love them.
Oh, and listen, are you playing at the Reagan funeral?
Wow.
All right, just thought I'd ask.
Yeah,
All right, listen, we'll talk to you soon, Matt.
All right, you're the wind beneath my wings. God bless.
Bye-bye. See you later. There he is, Matt.
He's a good
Matt
guy.
Rogers.
A new friend.
Number 11. Number 11 on American Idol.
And I guess he's saying too soft a song to really win.
I'm sure people pull at you from all directions, and he apparently got that.
And now that I think about it, the week that he was really, really great was the week that he came out and did a Tom Jones song.
Yeah. And which one did he do? I don't remember which one it was. It's not unusual.
It's not unusual. I mean, it was either that or, no, it was She's a Lady.
Did they have a Tom Jones night on American Idol?
No, it was just a song he selected.
All right, very good.
Here's the address. www.19 Well, now hold on, Robbie. I can't read that.
No, yeah, 19.co.uk.
Is there a dot between the www and 19?
It's a crazy European thing. Beth Ann?
It's a British website, so it's www.19.co.uk.
All right, www.19.
The numeral?
Yes, 19.co.uk.
UK.
Correct.
I'd like to remind everyone that a short 230 years ago, we were at war with these people.
Okay, Rob, never forget.
And I'd like to remind everyone, there's no need for profanity in these letters. Please, remember.
That's right.
Remember, that
help
upset.
Help Matt out. That won't help Matt's cause,
that
no.
That upset Matt.
You want to help him keep
and,
it clean.
As you just heard, poor stupid Matt selected his song, at least partially based on what
based
he read
on chat crew.
On an internet board.
It's your fault.
No wonder he was the loser.
Horrible chat group.
Anyway, thanks, B.A.
You're welcome.
All right. So that's www.19.co.uk.
Yeah, I mean, send them an email and say, hey, 19, get him on the tour.
Right. Here's another...
I love Hey 19.
Another American Idol thing we never followed up on. Remember the name Amy Beggar?
Baby.
She's the girl that... I just heard the ice dam, Mike. She's the girl that went to the Ryan Seacrest show and was supposed to scream out that gay Don and Mike love Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
We never heard anything from her.
Wonder why.
No, I don't know, Buzz, so try her. I hear nothing.
I'm embracing it now. I decided I can't fight it. I'm going to join it.
I'm just ignoring it. Mind over matter.
That's right.
I'm like Sergeant Schultz.
Right.
I hear nothing and know nothing. I didn't hear nothing.
I didn't hear nothing.
I
ain't doing nothing.
I didn't hear nothing. All right, well, she's not there. You know what? Maybe she is downtown at the Capitol right now. Nothing's happened. Be back after this word from your local CBS station.
CBS. Well, I don't think Matt's really got a chance, but you can probably help his cause.
Hello, William.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
Hey, guys. Just real quick information. Did you know that the reason why they call it 19 is because, you know, that old song from the 80s by Paul Hardcastle called 19? Vietnam, it was 19. He was actually the first act they produced on their management, and they named it after that song.
Oh, you know, I do remember that. That was not really a chart topper.
No, but good record.
The average age of the guy in Vietnam was 19.
Yeah, that's what he got the name.
19. It was one of those first songs that sampled like that.
19, a magical number.
A real feel-good hit, as I recall.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Out.
Feel-good hit. You could do a twofer with a Battle of the Green Beret.
Oh, my God, that's an oldie but goodie.
I mean, really, if you do it a feel-good,
sure.
You know,
and then follow it up with the hyphen.
And then close
I just think
out,
that would work.
Close out four in a row within the year 25-25. Everybody will be dancing.
Or maybe throw in This Is the End. This is the end.
You could never go wrong
with
that.
And was The End associated with Vietnam prior to Apocalypse Now? I associate it with Vietnam.
So do I, because of the movie.
When he's just tearing up and he's going mental and he's all covered with blood.
You know, that's one of those Door songs that I never knew existed until I saw the movie. Then I went back and got the album. And it was
don't
like,
you think, really, in the history of film,
This is the end.
No song ever went along with a movie better than that. I thought it was absolutely perfect.
There's a list somewhere of real standard movie cliches, and one of them is, if you ever hear a Doors song, we're going to Vietnam.
That's true.
You know, the other one they use for Vietnam all the time is that, stop, hey, what's that sound? Yes. Everybody look what's going down.
And then let's not forget,
bird is a word.
That's totally Vietnam. And how does that work? That's Stanley Kubrick. That's how that works.
Nam Jam.
Wow.
Got a break. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I told all four that there are going to be some times where we don't agree with each other. But that's okay. If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
As I've told a lot of folks in Texas over the years, I wish I knew the law.
If I'm the president, we're going to have emergency room care. We're going to have gag orders. Yesterday, I met with the Russian foreign minister. And when he left the meeting, he kindly said, this is a man who, in fact, I'm going to paraphrase it. You need to check the facts, but a sophisticated thinker.
What? What?
You know, one of the most meaningful things that's happened to me since I've been the president. Oops. Ex-governor.
Remember, we used to laugh at Reagan.
Making sure America's a compassionate place means acts as simple as walking into a shut-in's home and saying, I love you, on a regular basis.
Bush speak.
The Don and Mike Show.
Syphilicious. The Don and Mike Show.
And just remember, I'm Joe Blow, Fox News. Remember, 20 years ago, we all made jokes about Reagan. We're making those jokes about Bush right now. I think it's a little different. Let's go back live to the Capitol. Nothing's happening. Here's Vaughn before we do the next thing. Vaughn in Sacramento. Hey, Vaughn, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
This is Don and Mike. I want to stick it to the man. There's no email address on there to get Mr. Rogers on the concert.
Oh, no.
Can't you go to
19entertainment.co.uk?
Right. Try this one. Try www.19.co.uk /... Site, S-I-T-E, 3, H-T-M-L.
God, that'll work.
Site 3.html.
I think you might get another 1,000. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, we are tilting it with nosing it.
There you go.
Nobody does it better.
Good luck to us. That's a buzz. Yeah. Thank you. Right. Yeah. Nobody does it better.
That's right.
Baby,
you're the best.
I've got a stack. Just a stack of disc jockey tapes.
Uh-huh.
This is one of the things that we've talked about getting to on the show, but for whatever reason, we just never do.
Right.
We went through the whole drama with the program director about if he put an ad out or not. Oh, excuse me. Breaking news from Buzz. Celebrity death time.
Yes.
And just when America thinks we have been pushed to the brink. I don't know who it is either.
The mourning is not over. Singer Ray Charles has died in Los Angeles at the age of 73.
Really?
We didn't see that coming.
That
one was... I mean,
hey, hold on. Did you just do a blind joke?
Mike just made the expression, yeah. Well, yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did. We didn't see
Ray
it.
Ray Charles is gone. Yeah, the age of 73.
Regretfully has passed.
Yes, he has.
And wasn't someone talking... Why did we hear about Ray Charles? Someone was talking. Oh, the guys that we had yesterday, the guys from the awful Southern Discomfort. Southern Discomfort had appeared with Ray Charles. Maybe that's what killed him.
Maybe
Ray Charles heard their appearance on our show yesterday.
That may have happened. It killed him.
But I hope they're available to eulogize.
I hope if that was the case, if Ray Charles was listening to our show on his Walkman yesterday and heard that, I hope for at least one brief moment he was given sight just for a second.
You know what? I think Ray Charles probably agreed with us. Yeah.
What did they
with our editorial slant, Southern Comfort.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Discomfort,
Ray,
Buzz.
Yes, right. Discomfort.
With any luck, they'll open for him again.
You know what probably killed him? Ray Charles is probably there wanting to call in, say, get those guys off the air, but what's he going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, every time he hits it, it's like Mr. Zipolix.
Right.
Every single phone number he dials, it's like, okay, let me see. I know
see the
number.
Keypad.
It's 877, but it's like...
And he gets that.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Every single time.
I liked Ray Charles.
Everybody did.
Yeah.
Georgia. What was his favorite color?
Corduroy. Yes, that's an oldie but goodie.
I had to. So, disc jockey, thank you for the bulletin, Buzz.
You're welcome.
And all you news hounds out there, that's another $1.06 that goes back in Buzz's news piggy bank.
There you go.
Because you can't be scooped on that one.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Now, are we going to have a simultaneous thing now with him and Reagan?
No.
Two for the price of one?
I'm afraid not.
Even though he's a great singer?
They might want to move the arrangements to next week for Ray Charles.
Mm-hmm. Think so?
This weekend's book.
Think it was a bad time. Bad time to die.
I don't think anybody really knew that Ray Charles was. He wasn't ill for any length of time, right? Not that we heard. I'll look into it, but we haven't heard anything.
I bet Billy Joel crashes a car this weekend. Billy Joel loves Ray Charles.
He does. Absolutely.
Billy Joel will probably go drinking and driving this weekend.
We'll have to wait and see the stories on Monday.
Didn't he name his? He named his daughter, I think, Rachel,
because of Ray Charles.
Because of Ray Charles. I think so.
Man, and nobody sung America the Beautiful better than Ray Charles.
That's true. He was great. He really was. Am I the only one that's worried about Billy Joel now? I saw Billy Joel on an award show recently.
Mm. You worried about his state of mind?
That's not alone. Not only with this, but with the Reagan news. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's two...
I'm not sure whether Billy Joel was a huge Reagan supporter.
I have no idea if he was or not.
Right. Well, I'm just guessing.
You know, although... Back in the day, Reagan had a lot of those guys out at the White House for like a photo op. You know, guys that he didn't know who they were or what they sang about.
No, but I mean, I think with different administrations, you have different entertainers, and I don't remember Reagan being particularly Billy Joel heavy.
But didn't Billy Joel go to Russia right after that whole tear this wall down thing?
Right, yeah. He did. Yes, that's a good memory on
so
that.
So maybe it was a Gorbachev thing. Who knows? All I'm saying is, if you live up in the Hamptons, watch out this weekend.
Yeah.
Put out your sandbags.
Billy Joel's going to be on the road.
Buckle up. Click it or ticket.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
I just want to point out, you finally got your death trifecta. You got Tony Randall, you got Ronald Reagan, and now Ray Charles.
Oh, no.
Tony
Randall is way too far in front.
Yeah, you mean it has to be closer.
Yeah, there would have to be another one falling in the next 24 to 48 hours.
That's
probably
how it works.
Yeah, I think so.
You don't want to include
James Garner,
James, you can always include him in your trifecta.
Sure, you could.
It's just not true.
One other thing.
Yeah.
We were talking about Deadwood the other day.
Yeah, Deadwood the show.
That's the CT comic who used to be on The Facts of Life.
Wait, hold on. Take a breath. What are you saying?
On Deadwood. You were talking about the show Deadwood on HBO?
Yes.
Right. And the girl with the affliction?
Yeah.
She's the CP comic. That girl used to be on The Facts of Life. Remember the girl?
What's her name, Rob?
Jerry Jewell.
That's her.
Is that her?
Oh. She was Blair's cousin.
That's the moment on the show where I said, this show cannot get any more creepy when she walks up to two of the characters and says, I'm knocked up! And then that's her only line, and then she walks away.
Wow. Anyway, you know what? You get a chime, my friend, for that tip in that she's the CP girl from Facts of Life.
Not to be confused with Mike the CP comic, with an impression done by Rob Spiewak.
Hi, Mike. I knocked up. Hi, Tootie. I'm with child.
Tootie. What?
I said, you got any Sopranos prize packs left? My wife was killed to get one of those ropes.
Yes, we do. Thank you for the call.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That went well.
That was energy.
Bye-bye.
Manic, uncontrollable energy.
Mark, Don, and Mike, hello.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Good, nice to talk to you. I've been trying to get through for months.
Right.
I just wanted to talk about the Jack Diamond and Jim Steed band and how bad they suck. They play all the time in my hometown.
Okay.
What's your hometown, sir?
My hometown is Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Gaithersburg, Maryland. Okay, we know Jack Diamond.
God, DJ band.
Stinks. Hey, are you ready to jump back on the bandwagon now that you've abandoned your DJ band for your DJ restaurant?
Yeah, absolutely. Until I get a DJ band again, all right, and then I'll change right away. Then I'll be like, hey, come on,
get out of here. Hello, Chris, Don and Mike show.
Ah, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, I was worried about Billy Joel too. His daughter's name is Alexa Ray.
That's it.
Thank you. Cool. All right.
That's a charm for you too. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
And that was after Ray Charles. So watch out if you're driving where Billy Joel's driving.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how long ago it was, a month, 2 months ago, our idiot program director ran an ad in a trade magazine. As it turns out, the ad that we went through the whole soap opera.
An accident. Yeah, and we never got it resolved.
The ad that was an accident that didn't run, as it turns out.
We believe we was lied to, and we still believe we was lied to.
Anyway, for whatever reason, it was for an opening that ended up, thank goodness, being filled by our buddies Ron and Fez. Almost like Jay Leno when he had that news conference. I'm announcing I still have the job.
Yes, absolutely.
So they never hired anybody to take these guys' place to work at the station, which was good. And what else is good is that we have all these tapes from disc jockeys who responded to the ad for the job with the guys that kept the job.
Right.
The ad that the program director says ran on...
accident.
By accident.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do now is listen to some of these DJ tapes.
Actually, not by accident, Don. Ran because of what we said on our show.
Yeah, that's right, because we're so powerful. Because that's what we can do. We can make one offhanded comment about Ron and Fez, and immediately the entire radio industry focuses on the fact that we said that. Mike, I would believe that if Matt Rogers didn't only get 1,000 hits.
Well, it was a complicated...
on his petition thing.
A very complicated website.
Right. I mean, I was telling him he'd get 25,000, 50,000 hits on his website.
Well, it was www.cowboy, it would have.
Anyway.
And now that's going to get a lot of websites. And it's probably porno.
Porn,
yeah.
Here's one of the tapes from one of the DJs that wanted a job. And what we're going to do from time to time is listen to these tapes.
Okay.
They have phone numbers. Call them and offer them some constructive criticism.
Very good.
Anyway, these guys are from San Diego.
Oh.
And I'm guessing it's not a secret that they're looking for a job since they sent a tape to a radio station.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Their names are Jeff and Mike.
All right.
I've not heard any of these tapes. The program director just comes down and gives me a box and says, anytime you guys want to listen to some tapes, here we go.
Yes. Yes, it is. Jeff and Mike, the Godzillas of the radio. Seeking to destroy and maim wherever you go. This is our home, KKSM AM 1320. 6:06 is our time.
My kind of disease.
What's going on here?
I don't know.
Yep.
This is real bad.
And we're here live, as always, as we promise. We make this pledge to you here live.
Hey, all right, hold it. Stop it for a second. All right, I have a question.
Wow.
Is this, I'm already thinking this is not even on the radio.
No,
that this was maybe done in somebody's basement.
Hold on.
Do they have a resume? Could this possibly have been done in a radio station?
Nope, they're real.
I think so. It's just probably a station no one listens to. Do you have any evidence there that this is that these are real boys?
I do. From KFEJ AM San Diego. So this is a real...
Mm-hmm.
We have a phone number on.
I'm shocked. Well, that I want to find that out first.
1320 on
never
here now.
Taped through rain or snow or hail or whatever is happening out there. We're here for you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely the tax on Best of Lance is good because right now we have the car tax, and that's kind of ridiculous. I mean, people need cars to go to work, but
that's right.
Best of Lance are like a luxury tax, you know? So
they are a luxury.
Now this is the tape that they sent.
Yeah. This is not, I'm shocked.
This is the tape that they think is going to get them a major market job at a big talk.
Their best work.
And it's on CD, so it sounds good.
Geo Metro maybe, and then the tags and titles and everything costs another $500. That's ridiculous.
Why would you send out a tape
mine in the mail
that has some big mouth listener just talking?
Well, the first thing I want to ask him is what this radio station is.
Yeah, Tom, Mary Carey says she's going to change, and so I'm just going to wait till she wins.
All right. Well, that's simply. Number one to look at tonight.
Wow.
We're going to listen to a couple and decide who
we're
going to call.
What is that? That is Jeff and Mike?
Jeff and Mike, and as you can see on their CD, they have their picture and their phone number.
There they are.
Here's the next tape that we have. This is Tommy, hold on, Ray Woods.
Tommy Ray Woods, three-name person?
You know, I'm not sure, for God's sakes. There's so many of
them. Yes, Joe.
Joe.
That KKSM is a community college radio station.
Oh, all right, okay. Fine. All right, well, that's different.
Thank you. I feel digital cable, Channel 95 in San Diego.
I feel much more relaxed now.
All right.
I'm very calm.
Then let's
I was uptight before.
Sure. Let's try Rob Girard.
Oh, that's excellent. I bet he's good.
Rob Girard.
Rob Girard. Let me see if I can find. Oh, here's his letter.
Oh, good.
His DJ name is Ray Woods. We have the letter to go along with
that. All right.
Dear Mr. Gray, please find my enclosed demo. I hope you'll consider me for the pending nighttime opportunity at WJFK. Again, see, that's the whole thing.
It was us.
Yeah, but
we
anyway,
talked about the opening, and that's how they sent the essay.
It's not a job now, but still, it's funny for these tapes.
Right.
Or, for that matter, any other opportunities that may exist within your station.
Are we sure about that?
I realize it's a bit long, but I wanted to give a reasonable sampling of what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is part of a larger bit about telephone answering machine message absurdities. The second is from my talk show. The last two are commercial reads where I do voices. I've got funny characters. Most importantly, I can improve your demographics. Women love my voice.
Okay.
Really? Thank you for your time and consideration. Hoping you will find this intriguing enough. I look forward to hearing from you. Wow. This is from Rob Girard, a.k.a. Ray Woods.
All right, let's listen.
Here's the second DJ Wants a Job tape that we have for you.
Good. Hello. You have reached the suicide hotline. If you have a touch-tone phone, please press 1. Please listen closely as some of our menu options have changed.
You know, do you get the joke already that you're calling a suicide hotline, yet you're being put on hold?
Voicemail.
Right. Options.
If you are on the extreme ragged edge and are contemplating sucking the bullet out of a gun barrel, slashing your wrists or jugular, driving your car off a cliff, or dropping a live appliance into the bathtub with you, please press
now, the letter says the first part is part of a larger bit about telephone answering message absurdities.
Please press 2.
Explain it, you drain.
If you intend to...
It's very dark.
Yes,
very, very morbid.
You're just going to have to
very grisly.
And not funny.
Seems to be all about methods of committing suicide.
Yeah. Here's some commercial reads.
Yes.
Or his talk show. I'm not sure which on the index this is.
I want to hear his crazy voices.
Let's hear the...
No, it won't index.
I don't know, Buzz. I'm somewhat threatened.
Hello. You have reached the suicide hotline.
Okay. We're going to fast forward this one a little bit.
Go right through
this bit and find out where he says the last two parts are commercial reads where he does voices and also part from his talk show.
Coop the bill that is locked in position at the giant auto crusher. Please press 6. Otherwise, press 0 for the next available council.
Oh, hold on, let it go.
Thank you for calling.
Suicide hotline.
Back to the second hour of the Ray Woods Show.
Here we go.
Ray Woods. As is our custom, we kick off this segment with our regular examination, immersively brief, of certain current aspects of our language. The English language, that is. Now, those regular listeners, you know that this is not always a critical exercise. Today, however, I'm afraid it is. Two things that I have thought for some time were just rhetorical fads that would soon pass from the conversational scene and seem on the verge of becoming aggravating.
All right, let's see if we can get to his funny voices, and then we'll hear our third contestant today.
Very good.
Is there a third part on there? because he did say that he does funny voices. And that part with the answering machine was killer.
Yeah.
We're going to steal that very soon.
Women love his voice.
That's right. Remember that.
Women love his voice.
Women love his voice.
Of course. I can understand that.
A bunch of these funny, quirky sayings that are called malapropisms. The dictionary defines a malapropism as a usually humorous misapplication of a word or words. The use of a word sounding somewhat like the one intended.
Why is a guy like this even anywhere near a microphone?
Terms here are misapplication.
Because probably someone told him he's okay.
Context. Which brings us to one of the Yogster's great malapropisms, and I'm sure you've
heard. Does it sound like you're listening to a textbook on tape?
Well, it sounds like he made this in the basement.
Is that the term déjà vu?
Is there any radio station
French,
on there?
Hold yes,
on.
It is French.
Yes. Well, Mike, my God. Hold on.
Yesterday, I'm sorry. I have to find out if it's true.
State University of New York
okay.
at New Paltz.
SUNY.
Okay.
SUNY New Paltz. Know it
now,
well.
Hold on. Now, here is a guy that comes not only with a resume, but with a letter of recommendation.
Okay. Oh.
Try hitting it again. I moved far enough ahead. I want to hear a wacky voice.
Okay.
However, all you hear from cocktail conversation, from people on TV talk shows, and even from some broadcasters.
Here we go.
Hey, what was your little rule about
this is like audition tapes?
Oh, it's a simple rule.
I mean, it's a link as far as length.
You get them in the first 20 seconds.
You know that. But I mean, how long would your total audition tapes
when
take?
When I was a disc jockey?
5 minutes?
Not even that.
Two and a half, three minutes.
When I played records?
Right.
2.5 minutes.
Right.
It would be spliced down, no junk, no nothing.
And your best stuff had better be in that first 20 seconds.
So on WCSB, Washington's enlightening, informative, and
that's,
entertaining talk
W
radio,
Connecticut School of Broadcast.
97 Crystal City, Virginia.
That's not a real radio.
Well, I don't hear any funny voices.
He's got 40 seconds.
Okay.
I'd like to talk to you about good things on a cracker. How about Swiss cheese on a Ritz cracker? Or a chunk of ham on a crisp Ritz cracker? Mm-mm.
Who's that supposed to be, Mike?
Peanut butter and jelly.
Isn't that the Pepperidge Farm guy?
No.
I think
you hungry? Now, this here is a six-pack of Mr. Big. This is a six-pack of Charmin. They're both soft, and they both look like they're the same size.
Who's he supposed to be now?
Not so fast.
You're looking at me like I'm, you know, we're not all in the same club.
You're not?
You're not?
Charmin.
No.
Which means a six-pack of Mr. Big has 900 more sheets. 900 sheets. It's like
maybe that's just a straight read.
Oh, round,
with
down
every six-pack.
Well, women love his voice.
Yeah.
All right, here's the third contestant we have, and then we'll call one of these scary, talented disc jockeys to tell them how great we think they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this guy, I will tell you, does have a resume.
Okay.
Wausau, Wisconsin.
Mm, we're on in Wausau,
WMZK.
Are we still on in Wausau?
Uh-huh.
As far as I know.
Evansville, Indiana, WYXY. And he's got a letter from his former program director.
Oh, good. Okay.
Wow. Two prospective employers of Tommy Mason.
Tommy
Mason was morning show host. You know what? I changed his name right away. Tommy Gunn.
Yeah.
Tommy Gunn.
I like it.
Yeah. And you hook him up with Machine Gun Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
I'm MG Kelly. And and then you got to have a guy named Shotgun as well.
Shotgun Tom.
Shotgun. Tommy Mason was a morning show host on Y107 for a year and a half, and in that time proved himself to be one of the most creative and driven radio pros I've ever had the pleasure to work with.
Hmm.
I had actually received material from Tommy at a time when I was not looking to fill a full-time slot, but I hung up onto his package. He's an asset to any station. This is from a program director named Cindy Miller, so she may be the person we call if the guy's not really fantastic. Here's our third update on Find a DJ, Tommy Mason, our third contestant.
So when you put a tape on and you started to exercise with me, what did you think? What was going through your mind then?
Well, Richard, I thought I was nothing more than an out-of-shape, out-of-work disc jockey.
Z104 Central Wisconsin's Pure Rock Station, 557.
Lucky nothing.
Here we go.
Oh, you're going to love this one, baby. New music that rocks. Limp Bizkit, Eat You Alive, Z104.
Z104 at 718 now. You know, I was wondering what it's like to have sex when you're 90.
It's like trying to shove a marshmallow into a piggy bank.
God. Yeah, your calls, 536-1041. Make time.
Yeah.
AC/DC shaking you, Z104.
Yeah.
Do you believe that you're a miracle?
Actually, Rich and my parents always told me I was a mistake.
governments at all levels.
Oh, brother.
Working as hard as we possibly can to protect the American citizens.
For you prospective DJs out there, again, if you're sending out a tape for a job, like don't put on your dumb, wacky tapes. You understand?
Right.
Everybody's got dumb, wacky tapes.
So it's what you do.
Right. It's like you don't start your tape with, you know,
where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Yeah, you start your tape with you.
Yeah,
right.
You've just wasted 30, you know, the first 30 seconds there.
It's crucial.
So what's this guy doing?
Yeah, an oil. And don't forget about the oil, George. 7:54. We'll wrap up Make Me Laugh in minutes. Stay now. Z104.
Hey, Make Me Laugh.
Infection 2000.
And maybe he stole from us.
Maybe so.
Is it ever going to end? No, we have 8 more months of it. There is no vaccination for infection 2004.
Maybe we stole from
him. It's official, though.
No, I got to tell you. Like I said, you steal from me, you're stealing twice. But make us laugh is something that is here.
Right.
That started here. Hold on, here's a theory on one of these guys. Craig.
Yo.
Hey,
I'm pretty sure that the second voice that idiot did was supposed to be Clinton. If you play it again, I think you'll hear it.
Oh, we don't have to do that, do we?
We don't want to hear it again.
Yeah, we're not going
to
do that, are we?
Thank you for listening to this.
Good idea.
Thank you.
I'm ejecting.
All right, so we've heard now from Jeff and Mike.
Right.
From Tommy Mason.
And Rob Gerard.
Oh, and hold on.
Oh, a bonus?
Here now is a bonus fourth contestant today from the world of political talk.
Okay.
Dear Mr. Linewand, you have the perfect call letters for the next president, JFK. J.F. Kerry. I have enclosed my demo CD, a demo in the true sense of the word, as I was on a phone line in Atlanta doing a show in Phoenix, and you cannot beat being in a studio for a lively show that allows you to control the board. My request is, would you consider a left-right crossover-type show in this hotly contested election year? My segment on the Mike Rose Show gives a good glimpse of what I can bring to the air. I've been making right-wingers crazy since I was 12 in Atlanta. My weekly three-hour show is called Bash the Liberal. And this is from Don G. White.
BTL.
And he calls himself America's Liberal.
All right, America's Liberal.
Here's his demo tape.
5 seconds are up
again.
Already.
It's an hour and 4 minutes.
It's an hour.
Is it really?
Yeah. Again, you know, you're a program director. You can take the time to listen to a tape. What is this? Come on, what are you doing? We're still waiting.
Wow.
25 seconds now. We're waiting for this guy's demo tape.
He's creating the drama.
This is America's Liberal. Don White, own the world's...
Let me just say, we have found today's winner. You know how you know?
Yes.
You know, I just told you, when you know, like,
right.
The first 20 seconds,
yeah.
I know already.
You know this is the winner?
We've got today's
good
winner.
Oh,
do I.
Remember when all those Republican radio hosts said that the election was going to be a cakewalk? It was going to be the same thing as when our soldiers came in Iraq. If Dick Cheney said they're going to meet us with flowers, it didn't happen. It's going to be a close election. Listen to the America's Liberal about Iraq, guns, tax cuts for the wealthy, affirmative action. Talk to me. I'm a Kennedy Democrat. Get used to it. That's right.
Just said, listen to the America's Liberal.
Oh, my.
New sound, new ideas. It's time for a new talk radio format.
You're goddamn right.
For America's Liberal. I'm Don White, and I challenge all comers on the right. And if you're on the left, you better check your backbone.
All right, well, listen,
there it is, Don. No argument here.
My apologies to Tommy Mason, to Jeff and Mike,
right.
to Rob Gerard,
we
a.k.a.
Found we found the winner today.
Yeah. No, this is the guy. We got to do a break, but when we come back, we will call this guy.
Good. Yes.
And frankly, I think we can speak on station management that we're not happy with the Bill O'Reilly Show that's currently run here on WJFK.
No. Yeah, we can say that. We'd certainly find him to be a suitable... You know, there are plenty of right-wingers on.
That's right. Oh, and he's just so good.
Yes. Like the Knight of Old Order, I'll put a mixture in the markets.
A mixture.
It's time for a political show.
It's time for a political show.
You like the Sopranos. After all, what has happened to the great liberal tradition of Manhattan? All of talk radio can't be satisfied by the likes of Rush and Handy.
Right.
Aren't you ready for a radio...
Wait a minute.
Rush and Handy.
I believe that was Hannity.
Right. Yeah. Rush and Handy.
live on air. Stand up and praise Hillary.
That's what something everybody did at Chernobyl was praying for right before that place blew up, a Russian handy.
Right-wing, angry white male listener will not get the message you call. Remember, liberals are the best thing to ever happen to America.
You know, this is...
I can give you the list.
Not helping.
No, not helping at all. All right, we got our guy.
Let's give him a call.
We've got our finalist.
Call him in a minute.
We have got our finalist. We will call him, and I think we will offer him a job. He is scary to get a job. You are a good DJ.
A good DJ.
Oh, and look, he's the only guy. I'll say this, as for all these other tapes, even the bad community DJs that
write
their picture on their CD, this guy has packaging. He's got himself a little logo.
Yeah.
And he's got himself some business cards.
Oh, bright colors.
Bright colors. America's liberal, Don White, supreme talk talent.
My show on KFNX Phoenix, and later, a few clips from the Mike Rose Show in Atlanta, where I was a weekly featured guest on Fashion Liberal and Man.
You know, here's the thing. The word A is like the word the.
Yes.
You can say.
You say the or uh-huh. You know, there's actually, in school, they teach you that.
That's right. Excuse me. You can say, are you going to go to the store?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can sound stupid and say, are you going to go to the store?
I bought a hot dog at the amusement park.
The amusement park.
Wow. And it's what it is, I think, it comes from reading problems.
Uh-huh.
That's my understanding.
You're right. I think you're right. Even if it's where it shouldn't be.
And really, I would like to, maybe if we get this guy on the air, when we get through the initial, I know you want to offer him a job, I'd like to ask about his reading.
You got it.
Yeah.
And the word and is another one. Like, you could say, hold on, Rob's getting a call.
Yeah.
You could say, for instance, I would say to Mike, do you need me to get you a paper?
No, I need you to get me a paper.
Okay.
Would you go to the store and get me a paper?
I would, but I don't know. Do you have the time? No, I guess that's correct, though. What is the time?
Do you have the time?
Yeah, it would be the time.
Right. It always would be the time.
But I guess the one that really sticks out the most is the letter A and the word A.
Yes. There's only one appropriate use of the word the, and that is if you play for Ohio State. And you're going to be introduced on the AP All-America football team, and you say, the Ohio State.
But now they all do it. Now all the college guys.
Ohio State owns that.
No, I think Miami now has taken over ownership of that.
What? Nobody can
take Miami. They're the original.
They use the.
But all those guys.
They say
the. You know, they do say something like that, though.
Probably.
Buzz, here's a call I know you will want to take.
Okay.
Chris from Spokane, Washington.
Yes,
go
Chris.
Ahead, Chris.
Hey, I'm bored off in your damn show.
Uh-huh.
I was actually just calling to tell you guys that Ray Charles died.
And did you mention, what is the first thing you said?
I'm bored opping your damn show.
Hold on. What station are you the bored op at?
Well, I'm not a bored op. I'm a disc jockey, but they cut all the part-time hours, so now I've got to bored off your damn show. But it's just it's just a fan.
All right, I just want to
bored off the damn show.
I just want to make sure.
Do you enjoy bored opping the damn show?
Well, no, because you guys just take breaks just whenever you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
isn't that cool?
But that's cool. I respect it.
Let me just tell you what I respect. The fact that you called up, that you're at KJRB, KFAN,
right.
In Spokane, Washington. As you say, you're bored opping the damn show, which leads me to believe that maybe you would have heard it in the first hour when we riffed on Ray Charles being dead for about 15 minutes.
I was out smoking.
Now, what if we had taken a break?
I would have missed it.
You would have missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they would hire a board op.
The problem is that he is a DJ.
Right.
Does Chris have a last initial?
Oh, I don't think we can put it.
No, you can't put a board op in the book.
We'll do something else.
Hey, does Buzz do an Ernie Anderson impersonation?
Hey, time out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was still on. I didn't know I was still on.
Time out.
All right.
God damn, I hit the button. Did somebody else hit the button? I really need to know.
Did somebody else hit the button?
Come on, guys.
You still have a delay.
I need to know, because this guy just dropped the F-bomb. I said, we're going to break right now. And
God.
Because you're so stupid.
If it got through, we apologize.
I thought you hung up on me.
A stupid board op You should, you know what, you should just be doing, just sitting there listening to the show, trying to wait for us to go to commercial break, not calling in, not trying to be a part of the show, and then you drop the F-bomb.
And the F-bomb now, that jeopardizes our careers.
I apologize. I thought I was gone. You guys should have hung up on me. You could tell.
No.
You should eject.
You should not have called.
You should eject right now.
First off, you're the board op. Second, you're calling about something. Hey, dude, laugh, because if that got on the air, it ain't going to be our ass.
I told Joe I didn't even want to talk to you guys. He's like, no, I want you to tell him. So, I don't know.
Yeah, so blame Joe.
It is Joe's fault.
Blame Joe.
Joe's fault.
All right, eject.
Bye.
You seem
nice. We picked that up anyway.
We got it?
Yeah.
God, you know?
Good. We got it.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ, what's wrong with people?
I don't know. Well, now probably half the network is broken, too.
Right. See, all we were going to do, the thing is, because you know what's happening when you get a guy like that, a guy who says, hey, and you take your breaks all the time. Yeah. You know, you say, okay, we're going to break right now.
Oh, you got with the attitude.
Because you know that he's not standing right by the board. We went to break. Right as we went to break, the phone line's open. The guy just screams out the F-bomb.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, why would they pay him? You know, I mean, if we break all the time. It should be easy for him, right?
Well, I mean, if they're cutting back somebody's hours, wouldn't you cut back that guy's hours?
I'd cut them down to a really
small
number.
We could keep him off
number.
The air and put him on a board.
Let's point out again. The guy called the show, the board op.
Yeah, the board op who's supposed to be monitoring our show.
The guy
we
called.
Discussed, he called to give the scoop to scoop buzz on the Ray Charles
news.
Which we had already covered.
Right. And then drops the F-bomb. It was just a wonderful, wonderful
thing. Because he's cool. Perfect. He's cool living large in Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
Living large in Spokane. BMOC. Yeah, I dropped the F-bomb.
Yeah, I did it.
Crazy, scary talent. I tell you what, you're no Don White. You're no America's liberal.
That's right.
I'll tell you that.
And you know what his defense was?
He is a bad man.
His defense was, I'm not a board op. I'm a disc jockey.
Bingo. Yeah, I tell you what, brave man. The next time you open the microphone on your own show, if there is such a thing, try saying it on your own show.
Yeah, see what happens.
Try it, Dick.
Fun, fun, fun.
Really? What a Cheney. Absolutely. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I'm listening on WBUF. The F-bomb didn't get out.
Yeah, no, good. No, I know. Thank you. We appreciate that. My cat-like reflexes along
with... You sprung to attention.
Along with B.A.'s cat-like reflexes.
Amen.
On that one. Thank you. So, they did not go to break in Buffalo. That's good. Thank you. Thanks for checking in.
That's good. I'm glad.
We appreciate it. Now, what to do about this guy in Spokane?
Well, we're supposed to call him after we come back from the break.
Oh, no. No, the guy in Spokane is the guy
Spokane.
That just...
Oh, Spokane. Yeah.
The guy in Spokane is the guy that just dropped the F-bomb.
Oh, you know what? We'll give him a call during the break.
There you go, Mike.
Actually, we won't give him a call. Somebody will give him a call.
There you go.
The
and then when we come back, we'll call this guy to tell him how great he is.
Absolutely.
This guy.
Calls come pouring in when arch conservatives had a chance to bash a liberal live.
I will have questions about his whether he is reading the right books.
We will be right back.
Hold on.
How are we?
Hold on. Now,
106.
Don't break stations.
Oh, God. Those who haven't already.
Don't break, please. You know, it's been a long time, but I'm going to ask you to pull out the train wreck sound effect.
Oh, is it time for that?
Oh, I think it was time for like 10 minutes ago.
What's that liberal disc jockey's name?
Don White.
Don White.
Don White's calling us right now.
Yeah.
Don White's calling us and saying, hey, you suck.
You suck.
Top guests of the left can no longer complain about not being heard.
Just kidding.
Bring an upbeat, positive message that will sell airtime.
And what if we went to break right now? OF! God, deliver us from evil.
Deliver us from DJs.
Please. Well, we can't, Mike. We're going to ask for a DJ to... You know what? Never mind.
Yeah, good call.
When we come back from the break, I got a million other things I want to talk about.
Hey, you know what? And now we're not allowed to do that anymore. I was just going to say, in the old days, we would have had a good old burning.
Yeah.
Burn those tapes. So, burn those letters.
I want to come back to this another time, but now I'm afraid the taint word is going to enter my list. It's tainted now.
It's tainted because you got all your energy out on that real guy that called in.
The segment is ruined. Instead, when we come back, I'm afraid I'll have to tell you about the bipolar Bobby Brown. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Howard Stern on your way to work. Don and Mike on your way home. 106.7 WJFK.
Traffic into downtown Washington already slow before Boundary Channel Drive on 395. That will carry across the 14th Street Bridge over to South Capitol Street. Head again from the Stewart Oil Tank down to the Sousa westbound side. Again, leaving the Case Bridge, headed over to the 14th Lane. Zero for northbound GW Parkway. Already some volume through the Potomac River Bridges headed north toward the Beltway. The lanes are open. Something brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Get your car ready for the summer heat. Stop by your neighborhood Jiffy Lube to check your car's air conditioner and get your signature service oil change. Jiffy Lube, the well-oiled machine. I'm Leigh Moonves. I'm Don and Mike on WJFK.
Now, are you on CBS? Watching an HBO show on CBS. It won't be edited, I bet.
Nope.
You know what I'll do? I'll talk about that. Using my OnStar personal calling. It's a hands-free and voice-activated wireless phone built into OnStar-equipped vehicles. We both have it.
You know, I would venture to say somebody could videotape Sex in the City and then play that videotape over your OnStar phone that you have in your car, and it would sound crystal clear because it comes right through your stereo speakers. And you know what?
What, Mike?
I like that. It's nice.
I've not had any hair lasered off my body. I'm not going to a golf place to sell golf clubs. I'm not doing a thing with my wife when we're getting our eyes done.
You are so good.
I'm just telling you that I have OnStar in my car, and I push the white button to make calls, and it beats the hell out of my cell phone.
You can use OnStar for any personal calls you want to make, even if you want to call a jewelry store and say, I'll play at your party.
Go to OnStar.com. You never forget. You never forget. Oh.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
How are you?
Don't point your finger at me, woman. You're the one who parks him in front of the TV and makes him watch all them Muppets. They got frogs kissing pigs. What the hell did they think was going to happen?
We are not going to get anywhere by attacking each other. We have to do the sensible thing. We'll move to Berlin.
What?
Bobby will be accepted there. I read somewhere that Germans, they're very tolerant people. Their culture admires all kinds of freaks.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hey, Julia.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Glad you enjoy them, sir, but no, I'm afraid they are not real radio personalities.
Hey, Julia. Guess what's in the box?
It's the sacred time.
Yeah.
The time for Don and Mike.
Funny.
Right, right. Full of chickies. Little baby chickies.
I thought you said candy.
Little candy or bunnies or right. Chickies.
Little chicks?
Little baby chick.
Well, then she'd ask about the air holes.
Well, that's where you'd say, there are none. And you know what's really in that box, Julia?
Yeah.
Step over here.
Yeah.
Step into Daddy's laboratory. That's what Rob says at that point.
Then total trauma.
Step into the laboratory.
Had to happen.
You got
sometime.
That? You got that Bobby Brown tape?
Oh, you know what? I will in a moment.
Well, what were you going to say?
That's
okay.
Something valuable.
He stepped up to say something.
Yes, as he's often wants to do.
By the way, in answer to your earlier question, complications from liver disease is what did in Ray Charles just before noon today. You asked, and there it is.
All right. And, of course, we know that thanks to KJRB in Spokane.
Yes.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say the thing about Ray Charles.
Oh, thank you. Okay, Bobby Brown.
Hi, this is Bobby Brown.
Hi, Bobby.
Yeah. I'm chilling down here with the two fat men.
Now, I don't know how many of you subscribe to... Mike, you subscribe to a lot of magazines.
Tons of magazines.
One of them that I got subscribed to.
Oh.
Like as a gag.
You are correct, sir.
But I get it every month here at the station. It's Sister to Sister.
Sister to Sister.
It's one of those things... You know, people are always...
Is it Sister to Sister or Sista to Sista?
S-I-S-T-E-R.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Although it is definitely slanted... Oh, Sista!
Okay.
But, you know, at first I thought it's either a nun magazine or it's
right.
Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
single women, Sister to Sister. Or not necessarily single, just mm-hmm. women that are happening.
Very good.
It's a girl magazine. And there's an article with Bobby Brown... And man, is Bob Brown all over the place.
Yeah.
First, about punching Whitney Houston on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the many controversies.
He finally addresses that. Yes, okay. He did punch her on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
He did. He did.
Oh, dear.
Happy holidays.
But she started it.
Oh, well, you know, is that his excuse?
She started it when she tried to force him to take his medication for... for his bipolar disorder.
Oh, my.
That's the latest now on Bob Brown, that he's bipolar, meaning either, of course, he's extremely happy on top of the world, mm-hmm. or he is suicidal.
Well, it works in court.
Rob Brown's quote, Robert Brown says,
yeah,
I didn't want to take that Wellbutrin.
Wellbutrin.
I didn't want to take that Wellbutrin. It's supposed to help you stop smoking. It made me manic. Once I quit doing drugs, I didn't want to have to keep taking pills every day. Come to find out, Wellbutrin just got sued for lots of money because it made someone commit suicide.
Uh-oh.
Incidentally, bipolar is the new politically correct name. I think I described this in, it's like a manic depressive.
Right, same thing.
Bob Brown says, marijuana helps me deal with it, although I don't have any legal prescription for Lovegrass,
which is what? Supposed to even you out a little bit? Is that what it is?
That's what he wants, some Lovegrass.
That's a nice name.
What's most excellent is in the same series of quotes he talks about now that he's quit drugs and how marijuana helps him deal.
So he does not consider marijuana to be a drug.
Now,
exactly.
How are Bob and Whitney doing?
It's an herb. Thank you, Buzz.
They're in counseling.
A good.
They're doing, and again, I'm quoting Bob Brown here.
So do you think that Bobby goes to counseling and before counseling has a big old fatty?
They're doing real good. And when he went to prison earlier this year for that parole thing.
Yeah, that little thing.
You know how he passed the time?
Smoking dope?
Well, maybe, but also cleaning showers and mopping floors.
Wow.
I don't shower much.
Here's Bob Brown. I was doing a lot of work I'd never done in my life. Stripping floors with the big machine, waxing floors. My thing was this. As much as I can do while I'm in here, it makes the time go faster. Mm-hmm. It's better to get out of the cell and do something, because the 24-hour lockdown, that's hell. That's like someone locking me in my bathroom for 24 hours.
You know, what a nice way of expressing the life in prison. I think that's very accurate.
Right. And the last thing that he says in this article in Sister to Sister magazine, which will be on newsstands later this week, is that he and Whitney are getting back together.
Oh, dear.
They are renewing their vows. Oh. And here's the best news. They have decided, yes, that they're going to have another baby.
Well, that's perfect. Bring another baby into
that's
the mix.
That's wonderful.
It'll be a play made for little Bobby Christina.
Now,
so that's, I think, the most important fact in there is that he talks about being off of drugs, but he indicates that he is still smoking a lot of marijuana.
He doesn't want to take the drug that will help him with his crazy psychotic personality.
Wellbutrin. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but he wants his Lovegrass. He wants his Lovegrass.
Wow.
Okay. Reagan is... Oh, this bulletin just in.
Yes.
Hold on. We've just checked down friends Jim Nance at the Capitol.
Hello, Jim.
Ronald Reagan's still dead here on America's most watched network.
CBS.
While Reagan is dead, the other Bush is turning 80 this weekend.
Yeah, I was reading about that. And
he's jumping out of an airplane.
And mm-hmm. he's still going to do it this weekend, right?
Yes, he is.
Sunday. Yeah.
God bless him. Fantastic.
Sunday. And he's really excited about it.
Yeah, he's done it before.
Yeah.
I've jumped
out. Didn't he do it on his 70th?
Yes, he did.
Right.
I jumped out of an airplane one time. First, I did the thing where I was in tandem with the instructor.
Right.
Then, because they really care and they don't want any accidents, you watch a videotape, and then they send you back up, and you just jump out of the plane on your own.
Oh, tell the truth, they push you.
Once you sign the waiver that says, if I die, I'm not going to sue you, because I watched this informative one-hour tape.
Yes.
And then you also stand on on the second step of a stairway, and you jump off the step.
Uh-huh.
And that's how they should practice.
And you loved it.
Oh, it's the biggest rush I ever had in my life.
You loved the experience. And George Herbert Walker Bush, of course, as many will remember, parachuted into the Pacific in World War II and was picked up by, I think, a submarine.
So anyway, the whole thing is people are saying, first, he's 80, he shouldn't be skydiving, he's a former president, and he's...
Brittle bones.
And he's doing it on the weekend of Reagan's funeral.
Yeah. Where is he going to be doing? Is he doing this up in Maine? Or where?
I don't know if it's Maine
or if Texas.
It's Texas. Houston. It's going to be in Houston.
That's where he did it last time.
Favorite town.
Going to be in Houston. You got it, Robbie? You got it? You got it? Hold on. Homer, Honeymoon, Howard Dean.
Lonely in that old
Horns. Time. Horns. We're doing it alphabetically. There, you just went past it.
Hold on.
You just went past it.
Try now. Hold on.
Now it just says, there it is.
Back to Houston.
Houston. Houston. And listen to this great birthday party. Assuming that he survives.
Right.
George Bush has got, at his birthday party, Gorbachev. John Major, the guy who used to be in charge of Britain.
But they're all in town.
Yeah,
they're all on the
state. Right, they're all here anyway. Of course they're here.
Yeah, well, why not?
But hold on, Mike. There's more. Also, Bo Derek will be there.
Right.
God. That is surreal. Dennis Miller is going to be providing some comedy.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. And special guest star... Tommy Toon.
Tommy Toon doing some Broadway songs.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, you know what? I approve of George Herbert Walker doing the birthday song.
Me too.
You celebrate, you celebrate a man's life and then you celebrate a man's birth. Why not?
And I think it's great. I've done it myself. Anybody in Vegas, if they're putting money on this, I'll take the long shot odds.
Now, do you think that the long shot odds are going to be that he makes like a stone and goes right down to the ground? Or is there the possibility at 80 that the landing, bones brittle, collapses like a set of dominoes?
No, I think that the only bet that they would take would be simply whether it's chute failure, whether it's brittle bones, whether it's he blows off. Of course, it's either he makes it or he doesn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
It's either...
Wouldn't that be something?
After and the odds,
but I will say that if I was going to take out a bet, I say he's going to make it, but I say there may be a broken bone.
Well, see,
you could include foot, ankle, leg, femur, whatever.
I would agree with you. He's going to make it, which is why it would be the underdog pick of all time.
Right.
Tell me what the odds are, and I'll put $100 down,
right.
And then what the heck?
Don't you think they'll be extra careful, though? I mean, I think the chute will open. It's just like when the... Well, you did it. Well, isn't that impact rather severe?
I broke my finger, because I didn't do it the way they taught me to land.
Did you break your finger when you went down?
Yeah, because as I went down, I came down with my feet, and they say you're supposed to get all of the momentum in your feet and kind of swing in with your ass and just kind of walk on. And they said, whatever you do, don't lean back to break the fall. When I landed on the beach,
because you'll go right down.
And I put, and my arms went back, and I bent back that finger in it.
So you did lean back. What they say when you come in for that? Do you kind of run forward?
All they said at this point was, Mike, it was 5 years ago. I don't remember.
Maybe we didn't talk a lot. I thought you had to play it pretty cool because you were having trouble on the home front with
I
that.
Lied to my wife.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to do it. My wife said no. Mm-hmm. It was one of the few times that I disobeyed a direct order.
Would you ever do it again?
I have promised her on my kid's life that I would never do it again.
You never do it again. I hadn't made that promise.
I would love to. Yeah. I do it in a heartbeat. It's fantastic. We're out of time. You know what? Remind me tomorrow. I really want to talk about this, especially to you country music fans. There's some proof that all of the country music stars of today use something called Pro Tools to make their voices sound better. You can tweak a singer's off-key recording to make it sound good.
Well, it's the same technology that's used when they use the Cher song.
No. Hold on a second. Let me give you some of the performers who use this. Garth Brooks, Matrina McBride, Vince Gill, Trisha Yearwood,
Martina McBride.
Wait a second, Matrina. Loretta Lynn, Faith Hill, Tim McGraw. You never see Tim McGraw pick up an acoustic guitar and sing in front of an audience without using a microphone that's connected to an auto-tuning device on a computer.
Wow. And that's the same stuff that's used when they do those recordings where they change the pitch.
Right.
That's how they avoid being pitchy.
But like on the Sheriff thing, like on that song, Do You Believe, where it's got that almost...
You mean...
Almost that robot thing.
Right. Right. It's exactly the same thing.
But these country singers, though... They're not doing robot stuff.
No, they're not doing anything. But what it does is...
They're just fixing it.
But what amazes me is I didn't think they could do that live. I thought that all
right.
had to be done post-production.
Yeah. Anyway, that's why I think we should talk about this tomorrow, because I got tons of stuff about this, because that's the same question that I had that everybody else had answered. No, go see this guy, Tim McGraw. He can't perform unless he's got a special microphone that goes through a computer.
A computer that adjusts his pitch.
That fixes his voice.
Well, I think it's fixed.
Right. Matt? Matt in Kansas. Hi, Matt.
How's it going?
Oh, you know, we got to keep this fast because we've got the guy from Lover Money coming on the show next.
So not a problem. Here's what I want to say. I used to work in a recording studio, still do a little bit here and there. Let me tell you something. Every performer, if they don't say they use Pro Tools, they're lying.
All right.
Every performer uses
Tomorrow
it.
Tomorrow we'll get to I want to leave you with a feel good.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking tomorrow maybe we could even try our own singing style and see if we could use our own Pro Tool.
You got that.
That'd be fun because we've got a Pro Tool here in the studio.
Oh, you bet we do.
Mike, feel good about this.
All right.
Actually, I've got two for you today. Two feel-good stories.
Excellent.
Do you want... Oh, God. I'll just give them both to you. Well, there are all kinds of crazy things that parents do to make their unborn babies smarter.
Mm-hmm.
You read out loud to them, you know, hoping that the baby will absorb the knowledge.
I sang to my unborn children.
You play classical music near the belly. I think Frida did that with Bart. Oh, yeah. Lady in China wanted to gift the child, so she played very loud educational tapes against her abdomen during her entire pregnancy.
Very good.
Her son was born deaf. But that's not today's feel good.
That's not the feel good story today?
No, here's the feel good.
What is it?
Police have launched an inquiry after a man found the dismembered remains of his daughter-in-law inside his son-in-law's refrigerator while he was looking for milk to go with his sandwich.
Oh, dear.
The man had gone to the couple's home in Kingston, southwest London, found no one was home, let him in, had some tea, wanted to make a sandwich, get some milk, found his daughter-in-law's cut-apart body, many pieces, wrapped in plastic bags on the shelves. The man called the police after he found the body. Everything was there in the kitchen. The head.
You mean the whole body?
The head, the arm. We had a story like this yesterday.
The whole dismembered corpse was there in the refrigerator.
Yeah, that's the feel-good today. Disregard the other feel-good about
please.
The deaf baby, because actually there's a happy ending to that.
Oh, good.
The doctors in China are hopeful that the boy's sense of hearing will recover. No. Damage was discovered early.
Just play louder educational tapes.
There you go. But there's nothing but a good ending on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Man making tea sees daughter-in-law's body in fridge.
This is not the best tea I've ever had.
That's the headline. That's the feel good.
Hello.
That's today's feel good.
From jolly old England.
So next is the guy from For Love or Money. The guy's name, oh, Christ.
Preston.
Preston something. Anyway, the deal is he's got 16 girls.
Preston Mercer.
16 girls.
25-year-old mortgage banker.
And I guess on this show, the last two times, he had a check for $1 million. And if the girl picked him, it would be like, do you want him for him or for his money?
Right.
Now, you know, they change these shows up so much. Now the checks that the girls have, the 16 girls, when they enter the house to live with the guy,
mm-hmm.
the checks are made out to them from anywhere from $1 to $1 million, but they don't know how much their check is worth.
Ah. Is it if they choose him, they get $1, and if they choose the money, they don't get him?
Hold on, here's
Isn't
what...
It something like that? Wait, what?
Here's what I've got. He carries checks worth anywhere from $1 to $1 million. They don't know the check's amount, also known as the girl's price of their dignity, until the show ends.
Wow.
Right?
I still don't get it.
Me either. Give me a second. I know we want to talk to this guy. We just have to understand the show. Hi, can you explain this to us, BA?
Yeah, what happens is you've got 16 girls, and you've got Preston, who's the bachelor.
Right.
Now, when the show starts, they all think, oh, it's kind of like The Bachelor, and they're going to find love. And then the host takes them into a room and tells all the girls, well, no, it's for love or money. And they're all, oh, shocked. Now, the last time, the check was $4 million. Now, they each have a check anywhere from $1 to $1 million, but they don't know how much their check is worth.
So what if he picks the girl and the girl at the end has a check that's only worth $1?
Well, let me explain it to you, because then they put another spin on it. So he thinks that he's there just to find love. Then the guy takes him into the room and says, guess what? They don't even like you. They want money. And here are their checks and here are their pictures. And they all know that they have a check, but they don't know how much their check is worth. But you know what, Preston? We're going to tell you. And all of a sudden you see these lights come up behind the checks, and you can see...
I am getting an ice cream headache.
But wait a minute. This is ridiculous.
You know what, Beth Ann? We'll discuss it with him.
Discuss it with him. The star of the show, the bachelor of the show. We'll figure this out.
So is there a chance that at the end of this show, one of the girls can get him and the money?
No, they can. They have to choose. That's it. Mike, love, or money.
Oh.
Oh, and if they...
Oh, that's why it's not for love.
So what if they choose the money and it's the $1 million?
Well, then they get $1 million, but they could choose the money and get a buck.
Oh.
But now I get it.
But the joke's on the guy. But what if they say, no, we want the money, and then it's $1 million, what does the guy get?
Nothing.
So he just walks away.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a spinoff of something.
So the worst case scenario would be the girl chooses the money, he doesn't get anything out of it, and she gets a dollar, and then it's just what a great ending.
Okay.
Well, I see, by him knowing how much their check is worth, he's now looking at them differently.
So now, for instance, with girl number 5, he already knows that she's got a $1 check?
Right. So he really doesn't want to keep her around, because if she should choose him, he doesn't have to choose them. He can take their
money. Hold on, so he knows...
Wait, who chooses who?
Who does he know...
This is totally confusing.
Does he know who the $1 million check holder is?
There's actually several $1 million checks.
Well, who chooses... What, they choose him? If he knows... Well, Jesus, he's going to pick the $1 million girl.
No, that's what you would think, but he got rid of 2 of them last week during the first thing. But he kept one around.
Oh, for God's sake.
Did you like the show?
I loved it.
Because I know my wife watched it, too. She was crazy about it. Okay.
And, you know, it moves really fast. It was like, I can't believe it was still on. It, like, more happened.
Which one built a fire without matches?
Hey, Buzz, now
sorry.
Stop it.
Not funny, Buzz.
I'm sorry. Just trying to understand.
But the girls don't know how much money they have.
Right, but he knows how much they... But each doesn't know that the other knows. The girls don't know that he knows about the money.
Well, wait. But aren't they getting together?
But they think it's one of those bachelorette reality shows.
But you can say I know. You don't have to mouth it.
I really have been talking for 2 minutes about this. I still don't understand.
It's very confusing. Now you know why that guy came home and just had to chop her up into pieces and put her into the refrigerator.
Oh, Dom, but he was British and he didn't have a ladder.
All right, so what's the guy? The guy's name is Preston
Mercer.
Preston Moorhead, and we will talk to him and just thank you, BA.
You're welcome.
Right after this break, we'll be back with this guy.
I don't get it.
From this reality show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Attention! Attention! Nils is dead.
I repeat, Nils is dead, fuckhead. So is Pal. And those 4 guys from the East German All-Stars, your boys out of the bank,
they're going to be a little late.
The Don and Mike Show.
Keep the secret, my precious love. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Still to come on today's show. We have a guy who's selling a whorehouse. Where is it? Vegas or Reno?
It's Vegas. It's the Chicken Ranch.
The Chicken Ranch.
Is that the home we did the show from?
No.
Tomorrow on the show, Orny Adams. You know who this guy is?
No.
Ever read that Jerry Seinfeld DVD Comedian?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of it. I never got to see it.
Well, you should rent it.
I just rented that.
The awful comedian. What a coincidence, Mike. The awful comedian. He sucks. I saw it last summer and came back screaming about it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You loved the show, right? You enjoyed the movie?
Yeah, he's awful. He's ridiculous. But you got to watch the DVD.
Now, B.A. disagrees with you on that. B.A. says he's funny.
Right. Well, you know, B.A. is also wearing a Christmas shirt in July. Whatever month it is. So, you know, take it for what it is.
Okay.
Also tomorrow, Point Counterpoint.
Oh, good.
You're going to love this. You're really going to love this. There's an 800-pound guy in a hospital in New York.
Right.
And we found a guy to give him a pep talk. A guy that weighs 375 pounds.
Amen. Well, that's great.
A guy that who was 800 pounds.
Was 800. And now is down to 375.
Reason for hope. That's great.
So that's tomorrow, fat guys getting together on the show. We've got the guy from For Love or Money Now. Oh, and next week, Jim Gray, Penn & Teller, Patton Oswalt. God, all of this on this show.
Wow. Yeah, it's getting exciting around
now,
here.
Now here is Preston Mercer. Preston.
Yes, sir.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, Preston.
Thank you for joining us. Preston is the dreamy, faux dreamy star For Love or Money. Now, Preston, to be honest,
we were in here, Preston, going back and forth about this show and trying to figure out the rules and everything. There's a lot happening on this show.
It started with 16 girls. How many girls have you already cut it down to?
I eliminated 10 girls on the first episode.
Wow.
Wow, that's really thinning the herd.
That is way harsh. Was it hard, Preston?
The first one was hard because I didn't really know the girls too much. So, I mean, it was pretty much a decision kind of just based off of first impressions and whatnot.
So you got... Oh, boy, you broke. You broke one of our rules by saying whatnot, but we won't hang up on
it. Okay, thank you.
Okay, no problem.
I don't know the rules of your game.
That, no. You know, it's really... It's primarily a rule for our callers, but Preston, okay. don't worry about it. Now the winner of this show gets a ranch, right?
They get a come again?
They don't get a ranch, Mike. Preston, we need you to explain the rules
We're
to us.
We're confused.
I heard. Sorry, I'm getting the segue into the joke about the guy selling his ranch out.
Okay, yeah. It was a dry humor.
But
I
you got it now. But you've got this down. Now listen.
Right.
My wife watches this show every week. Our producer watches it. The show's getting good numbers. I want to understand this. You got it down from 10 to 6. Of the 6 girls that are left,
right?
How many do you know have a check for $1 million?
There's only one left.
Only $1 million girl left.
Right.
And now, if you pick the one with $1 million, do you get that?
No. The show's a little bit different now. Basically, the girl's going to get a choice to either take me or the money without knowing the amount of it, and then it goes back into my hands to make the choice of either the money or the girl.
All right.
So at the very end,
I still don't.
You
get
still
it.
Don't get it, Mike?
I'm not a bright guy.
Let's say it's the very end, and you're ending up with there's one incredibly hot brunette slash brownie. I'm not sure if you've thinned her from the herd or not, but let's just say that there's
I think I just got it. I just had an epiphany here. I just got it.
A beautiful woman.
So at the end, he picks, the girl decides whether she's going to take Preston or take the check, which she doesn't know the amount of. Right, Preston?
Right.
And then after that happens, you know how much money she's got, right? And she might, and if she picks you, then you get the same option, right?
Right, exactly.
But you know that you get $1 million if you tell her to take a powder.
If I take the girl with $1 million check down that road.
Oh.
Hold on.
It could be the girl with $1.
Wait a minute, hold on. Now,
okay.
Do you know how much money she's got?
Yes.
So there's only 6 girls left, and one of them has... Oh, and I've been asked to mention the show airs Monday night on NBC.
Correct.
Monday night, NBC, 10 Eastern and 9 Central Time on NBC for Love or Money. Is this for Love or Money 2 or 3?
This is 3.
3.
Wow.
Okay, so you're down to 6, and one of the 6 you know has the check worth $1 million. Here's my dumb guy question.
Okay.
How do you fix this game so you pick that girl and get $1 million for yourself?
I wouldn't know if it's fixing as much as it's just... playing the girl down that road, making her think that I'm into her. And she does the same with me. I mean, you know, we both could be playing each other.
How do you get... How do you get $1 million, Preston?
I would have to have the girl with $1 million check fall for me, okay? And when I pick her in the end, she would have to turn around and say, I choose you and not the money. Then at that point, I get the choice of choosing her or the money.
And you would take the money. Or her.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
All right, now, Preston, are you really looking for love?
And now I understand.
I do, too.
Got it? Light on?
Yeah, now I've got it.
And are you looking for love, Preston?
You know, I went into the show because I didn't think the show was actually for love or money. I had no idea until about... You know, 3 days into it when it was kind of broken to me. But, so I went in with the right reasons. I mean, aren't we all kind of looking for love, I guess?
So we don't find out in the end, whether you are seriously into you looking for love or whether you're doing this just for the change.
I already know the answer. Listen, dude, everybody's looking for love. Anybody can find love, but everybody's looking for $1 million. Not everybody can find $1 million.
That's
so,
right.
You know what I mean? It's like women. My philosophy on them, and I've been married 23 years, so I can say this now. My philosophy is women are like trains. You miss one. This was 5 minutes away. Now, a guy coming by with a...
Good analogy. I'll take that to heart.
A guy coming by with a wheelbarrow full of $1 million, he's not coming by every 5 minutes, Preston.
Yep, you're right.
He's only coming by... Actually, his day is always the 13th of never is when that guy shows up.
Of never?
The 13th of never.
Preston, have you gotten lucky during the show?
Actually, no. I didn't have any those type of situations.
Don't they have like hot tub scenes for you and the chicks?
Now because it's kind of been. I mean, there's some of you know there's that going on, but there's I actually was contractually bound not to go that far with the women.
Mm. Yeah, I was wondering about the contracts for all of these reality shows. There must be you have to sign yourself away in a lot of different ways, don't you?
Yes, most definitely.
And the most important one, of course, is secrecy. You can't reveal the outcome of the show before it's revealed to the public.
Right, the biggest one is the confidentiality agreement.
Have you French kissed the girls? I mean, on the show, do you French kiss them?
Heavy petting and French kissing. Sorry, I haven't said French kiss in a long time. I just wanted to say that. there was some kissing going on, yes.
Yeah.
And heavy petting?
No, heavy petting, sorry.
Is there anything...
I can tell we're in two different generations. That's why I was laughing at the French kissing question.
Hey, wait a minute.
Are you calling us old?
Hey, listen,
no,
pal.
You young whippersnapper?
There's a little thing with the FCC, dude. And before I would have asked you if you simply thrust your ugly, hairy, pimply tongue down one of these girls' lovely virginal throats.
But we can't do that anymore.
Right, so just, you know, French
I'm
kissing.
I'm just kidding, buddy. So am I.
Do you get... Listen, here's a question. Do you get paid a salary, like if you were in... Screen Actors Guild, do you get a minimum? Do you get a salary that you've already negotiated to be on the show?
I actually did I got a per diem. It was pretty negligible, like a per day type thing.
Right.
It was minimal at best.
Yeah, we're not so old that we don't know what per diem means.
Okay.
We understand that means per day.
That was maybe for the viewers then.
Thank you. For the listeners. All right.
it was financially, it was more of a hit for me to do this because I left my job back at home and... it definitely wasn't so far been like that.
Preston, are you a single, it says here that you're a mortgage broker. Are you a single successful guy? You make a lot of coin doing the mortgage brokering?
I actually own my own company.
Wow.
So it's not like huge, but I've got about seven of us working here.
Did you leave any girls back in Boulder, Colorado, you know, when you went off to do this show?
I actually went in this with, like, no strings attached, thank goodness, which was good.
And did you mention that you quit your job?
No, I did not. I had the guys kind of run the shop while I was gone.
Oh, I guess
he
left it behind.
Stepped away.
Temporarily.
Yeah, but like the deals that I was going through, I mean, I gave those all to my boys and, you know, something from that financial standpoint.
What is your overall impression of women that get involved in these shows?
I think most of them kind of go on it for the actual limelight, to be honest with you. I mean, I think a lot of people kind of beat around that thing, and I think that's people's initial attraction, I think, to going on to it. But the girls on the show this time around were, I mean... They were great. I don't think, I didn't really experience any of the drama that I've seen kind of on the television show. That was pretty much all behind this.
When you go into this show, do you look at these women and say, you know, I know you're contractually obligated not to have sex, but do you go into these shows and say, hey, if this was real life, you know, if we weren't in this environment, I could get her?
I felt like...
Honest answer.
I mean, I was being confident enough going in there that I felt like I had a chance that in the normal circumstances, I could probably date some of these women, yes. Some of them, no. I mean, I think there was a few of them who've never actually chased after a guy ever in their entire life, and this situation was a little awkward for them.
Do you make them do humiliating things, or do the producers make them do, like, humiliating things for you? I mean, like, do they have to
eat slugs?
Yeah. What? No, that's fear factor.
Oh, sorry.
I will say, like, if you saw the basketball date, those girls were quite possibly the three worst basketball players I've ever saw. God bless them, and that was a pretty funny date to be on.
Were they, when they played basketball, did they wear skimpy outfits?
They did wear skimpy outfits, yes.
Were they in heels?
No, thank goodness, high tops, I think.
So, how many more episodes does it? Six or five more?
There's gonna be four more. Total of five. I think it went from 12 episodes down to, 10 as a result of the, Olympics, and I think.
Ah, the Olympics. The Olympics keeping you down.
Yeah, holding me down.
What do your parents think about you being on this show?
My parents are pretty cool with it, to be honest with you. They've been excited, and they're enjoying it, for sure.
So, really, just between us, I know you can't say what's going to happen, but I already know.
Yeah.
You're a single, successful guy.
Right.
You're gonna take the money. Why would you? Let's say that one of these women you really have is, and they say on all these reality shows, we made an immediate connection.
But he doesn't get the money unless, unless he can convince the girl
before I even get a chance
with $1 million. And if he's already cut it down to one, but then again, the strategy could be you cut it down to one, but you know that the whole time you're gonna go after the one with $1 million.
Right?
Yes, okay.
I mean, you got to understand, too, you know, one thing that I think, at least that crossed my mind was, yeah, you could be put in that situation, but is $1 million in the form of annuity really worth, you know, turning the girl down on national TV?
Hold on. That's an important point.
Yeah, that is
a
point.
When you said annuity.
Yeah, that means $600 a year.
Right. They don't give you $1 million. That's like when a radio station gives away $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's like 20 grand a year for 40 years.
See, I'm a finance guy. You gotta figure all angles out on this type thing.
Right. I got you. All right. Well, then we will trust you, Preston, to make the correct solution to put the most coin in your pocket.
Okay.
Is this true, Rob?
That's what Beth Ann just said.
a girl had a nervous breakdown because she thought she was too old for you? Is that true?
Yeah, it looks like a nervous breakdown. She definitely had an issue with my age.
Did she use the term heavy petting?
You know what? And I think she used French
kissing.
Yeah. French kissing.
Yes.
Preston, please to inform us of the youthful jargon for French kissing now. What is used in place of French kissing now?
What is it, just tongue?
I don't know. I think that slang has actually kind of gone by the wayside. I don't know. I like it, though. Keep rolling with it. It's definitely you.
Okay, you. Preston, we will.
Well, you're good with it.
Thank you.
And for love or money is definitely you. And we'll book you again on this show, I think, on the 27th. Oh, that month I mentioned to you before. That month, it starts with an N. It's November. No, never.
Ever.
I'm kidding. You're a good guy. I love having you guys from the reality show. Last question, really, Preston.
By all means.
Any other pointers on being so goddamn cool?
No, none.
None for us.
I would just say heavy petting, a lot of French kissing. Will...
There you go.
Preston, good luck with the show. I hope it gets great ratings
for you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate your time.
All right. We'll see you later.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Tool.
I didn't like him.
There he is.
Well, guys don't have to like him, Buzz.
Right. Yeah. Noted. Noted wit. Preston, what's his last name?
Whatnot. That's his last name. It's Preston Whatnot.
Preston Whatnot. You know, in all of that, I got to be honest, I still don't understand the format.
No, I don't get it. Nobody has successfully explained it to me.
And what I've learned, I don't want to.
But all the broads watch the show and understand the show.
Whatever you do, though, if you want $1 million, don't say French kid.
Let's phone scan here. Why don't you get on the line to get on the air?
I know it's tongue.
We get 877-365-3636 for calls from America. We get 800-636-1067 for calls from Canada. And we get 202-432-1067 for calls from Washington, D.C. on WJFK.
Hey, Preston, which girl did you enjoy courting the most? Which one did you like sparking with the most?
Man, this is a guy who really knows how to pitch some woo.
I hope he's getting a lot of swag out of it. That was for you, Mike.
Thank you.
There's some spooning going on.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And you can get news, weather, and the latest news and weather on Fox 5 News at noon. And we'll see you again tomorrow. Do drive safely.
All right, we're in the victory circle. I can't get it. Ah, here it comes. It's chicken, yeah!
There's the poodle.
Yeah!
Put that dog down.
The Don and Mike Show.
Nervous poodle.
Thanks for listening, Chief. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, so that was the guy from Love or Marriage. I think we'll have him on again.
For Love or Money.
Freudian slip. Love or Money.
That was the very young Preston Mercer.
Yeah. We'll have him on.
Love or Whatnot.
We'll have him on before the last episode to try to scream at him to tell him what to do. Listen, before we had him on, I mentioned who's coming on tomorrow. Really, everybody should do some homework and rent this Jerry Seinfeld DVD, Comedian. It is a DVD that's based on Jerry Seinfeld after the TV show's gone off the air. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know if he's funny anymore. He's going to go out and do some... Remember when he went through that thing? He said, I'm throwing away all my old material.
Yeah, he's going to try out the new stuff.
So it follows Jerry Seinfeld. And when Frieda and I rented this last summer, we thought, oh, it would be a great chance to see the pompous, arrogant Jerry Seinfeld.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, as it turns out, the DVD also follows a young, up-and-coming comedian named Orny Adams. And he stinks. But what's funny, what's great, is that he doesn't know he stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks he's as good as Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay.
He thinks he kills.
And that's what the movie shows.
Yeah, and the movie actually, I don't think it was calculated by Jerry Seinfeld to work out this way, but it makes Jerry Seinfeld look like a very nice, compassionate, warm, caring human being.
Right.
And makes this other guy look like a total ass.
Really?
Yeah. And it was one of those things that was in the DVD stores and then it was out.
Right.
And I was talking about it with BA the other day and she said, oh, I love that guy. That guy stinks. So anyway, that's the guy that we'll have on tomorrow.
Orny Adams. And if you've ever seen the DVD, Comedian with Jerry Seinfeld, wait till tomorrow.
Like the name, Orny Adams.
O-R-N-E-A.
Okay.
Orny.
Orny.
Orny Adams. And on point counterpoint tomorrow.
Do I make you horny?
No, it's Orny.
Orny. Orny, Rob.
And on point counterpoint tomorrow, in New York, there's a guy who weighs 800 pounds, and he's... Well, that's all I have to tell you.
Yeah. And another guy that weighs 375 pounds is going to
help us.
He's going to give him a pep talk.
Yeah. good pep talk. But we couldn't get Richard Simmons. We couldn't get, who's the guy with the long ponytail? Tony, what's his name? The guy,
Tony Little.
Tony Little, yeah. But here is a guy that weighs 375. That's tomorrow. Point counterpoint.
Excellent pep talk.
Once again, proving yourselves to be the white Dick Gregorys.
Yes.
Hello there.
That's us.
Don and Mike show. This is a phone scan now. You're unscreened random phone calls. Hi.
Hey, Don, Mike. It's Ryan in Portland. How you guys doing?
Hi there. We're doing very well. Thank you.
Hey, I got a question about the skydiving, the George Bush possibly eating dirt on his skydive, on his birthday skydive.
Yes, sir.
How many skydives have you done, Mike? Or Don?
Two.
Okay. Wouldn't you agree that those parachutes are like huge Cadillacs and float you in, and it's kind of unlikely he's going to get anything broken?
Well, here's the thing. When I went up in tandem, I didn't really worry about it. I will tell you this. It is, like I said, the biggest rush ever.
But, it is.
But seriously, when you're coming down for the first time by yourself,
mm-hmm.
you get the pucker factor times 1,000. I don't care how macho you are, unless you're like one of those guys like Pat Tillman,
right.
Like one of those Army Ranger guys that just says, whatever it is, I'll do it.
But they've all done their first dive, too, and they're probably nervous, I would think.
Hey, Mike, have you done it?
I would not do it in a million years.
No, neither would I. You still hit pretty hard, even with the chute, right?
Yes, yeah. I hit hard enough to break one of my fingers.
My best friend, actually, he died in November skydiving, so it's and that's not a downer, but yeah, I know that you can hit pretty hard, but you know,
you're right, that's not a downer that your friend died.
Well, I don't mean to say it, you know, in terms of, you know, like to down the show, but I mean,
have you skydived, sir?
I have four times.
So do you think Bush will live this weekend?
I think so.
And have you done it since your friend passed away?
I have not. No.
Would you ever do it again?
Yes, in a heartbeat.
Cool. All right, see you later. Yeah, I love it. I would do it. As a matter of fact, I'll probably do it on the day of my wife's funeral.
Uh-huh.
That came out the wrong way.
Did it? Was there a right way?
What was the best way to come out?
Yeah.
I guess that was the best way to possibly come out. She's told me that I can't do it, and I've agreed that I won't do it.
Right.
So it will have to be...
Technically, you'd have to honor that after her death.
All promises are off until we get to the next life, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I figure that I got to pass. Because she's positive that she's going to live longer than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of her foolish rationale is exercise,
sure,
diet,
yeah, all that healthy lifestyle.
All that crap that I don't believe in.
Come on.
I think that she's going to be like that guy. Who was that runner guy that all of a sudden just, the guy that like ran?
Was it Jim Short?
Jim Fink?
It was a Jim something, I think. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. Jim Short would be a good DJ name for a sports gadget.
Jim Short.
Probably wasn't Jim Short. It was Jim Short.
I don't know. It was one of those runners' magazines. Didn't he have a runner's magazine?
Yeah, and he like ran 8,000 miles a day, and he was in perfect health. One day, boom, he's
bam,
dead.
You never know.
Yeah. He's dead. Anyway, that'll be the day that I do it again. The day it happens to my wife.
I understand.
When she's out running one of her 8,000-mile marathons.
You firmly predict that you will outlive her.
Oh, yes.
And as you've said on the show, I'm not quoting out of school here, that you will dance on her grave.
It'll be a waltz.
A waltz.
It will be a
slow dance.
A goodbye, my love waltz.
Of course.
Much like Nancy will be doing this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'll do. It won't be like, see, the difference is when Liddy dies, that'll be a jig.
A jig.
That'll be a jig. Right. That'll be a happy jig.
So it'll be a waltz for your wife. You won't be going back to your house and like putting soap in your eyes or anything like that.
Oh, no. I won't have to pull a Danny DeVito.
Okay, just checking.
No, I'll just do a slow waltz and then get right out. No, because I don't want my wife to die. I love my wife.
Of
it's just that's
you. That's so nice of you to say that.
The thing is, you try to find a positive in any negative. Well, okay, it's a negative if my wife dies. God,
of course.
She's my best friend. She's my confidant. She's my lover. She's my whole life.
So we'll go to the anonymous. Obviously, we would all go to the funeral, and we would be sitting there, and someone would say, well, which one's your radio partner? I said, it's the guy with the chute.
That's right.
It's the guy with the chute and the helmet.
There's the silver lining right there. Is that okay? Gosh, she's gone. But?
Yeah. I can't believe he came to the service.
But when this is over,
in his flight suit.
I get to go skydiving. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Don, I'm looking for some top 40 expertise from 71.
All right, go ahead.
Were you in the D.C. area?
I was a kid, yeah. What do you need?
This might have been off of WLPL, my tape, and I've never heard it since.
WLPL used to be 92, was it 92.3 in Baltimore?
No idea.
Anyway, what is what you're going to play of relevance to anybody except you and I?
Probably not.
Okay, see ya.
Hi.
Good luck.
Don and Mike show, hello.
My boy,
what's happening?
Oh, Sonny, it would please me greatly if I could have my Cadillac, Jack.
You are not my father.
The guy that just still maintains that he is your father.
I said I'd give my daddy a caddy, but that the guy ain't my daddy.
He wants that car.
Getting no caddy. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello?
I think this may be a call from a skydiver.
Third time is out of there. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Good, good. This is Ray Charles cloning.
Hey, Ray, what's happening?
Good, Buzz, I hate to scoop you, but you know that board operator in Spokane?
Yeah.
He's dead to me.
Okay, good call. You get
like
a chime.
You
get a chime. And I think that was a call from Canada.
Yes, absolutely.
That might have been Canada checking.
It had that Canada quality to it.
He was on that phone bank. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Are you calling from Canada?
I am not.
Okay. You're on the You're on the Canada phone line, though.
I apologize.
Oh, don't worry about it. That's part of the great thing about being an American.
Mm-hmm.
See, we don't tell
that.
We don't tell that to the Canadians that listen to us.
Right.
But
that's
Americans true. Can call either the American or Canadian line.
You might be accused of being a traitor, though.
Why?
You might be accused if you're calling on the Canadian line. You might be accused
of
helping the enemy as they mass on the border, preparing for the imminent attack.
I keep forgetting, Mike.
Right.
I keep forgetting.
Unless, of course, you do it to block the Canadians.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys.
What?
You have a reality star on your own set right there. Have you heard about the new ABC show Wife Swappers?
Wife Swappers?
That's the new one. That's the one that's around the corner.
I've heard about it, but it's not what Buzz did.
It's a real show, yeah, Buzz.
Yeah, I know, but it's not about... And first, Buzz, let me help you. Buzz swapped with his wife, Marcia. It was, what, 6 or 7 months ago that this happened?
It's been actually longer than that.
All right.
Years and years.
10 months. But the show on ABC, the topic, it's a reality show. It's very deceiving advertising.
Yes.
The name of the show is Wife Swap, and it is a wife swap, but here's what it is. They send a woman over from London,
okay,
and all she does is make lunch for your kids and make you dinner and pester you about doing the chores.
No sex?
No, and the American woman goes to London and does the same thing over there.
Well, that's not fun.
No. Right. That's not smart.
No, I like my way better.
You got to do the whole way.
And with your way, there was no cooking.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was lots of cooking, Mike. With lots of cooking. Hello, Don Mike Show.
Yeah.
And Buzz, your memory's so bad on that. I thought that was, like, I thought it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. You're saying how many years ago was it?
Years and years ago.
Could you put a number on that?
Well, gosh, almost 20 years.
Hey,
almost time 20. Stands still for Buzz Burbank.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
What are you playing?
Yeah.
This is not one of the guys that
this
called
is
us.
For Mike.
This is not one of the guys that called us from that awful troop yesterday, is
no.
it?
No.
The worst booking we've ever made in history.
You got a song?
I take it back. It wasn't the worst.
This is for Mike.
It was right. Close though.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there. Telling me
I want to hear the hook.
I think it's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Wait a minute. Wait, hold on a second. Wait.
Hung up on
it's a regular...
What? Yes, I just hung up on him.
I wanted to ask if there was anything about me in the song.
Mike, we waited a minute and a half. I don't
All
think
right.
so.
All right.
I think he was going back to our conversation earlier about Nam Jams.
Is that what it was?
And then I said that's when they played all the time.
Well, I'm very disappointed. Please don't mention me unless it's something to do with me.
Hello. Me. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi, you're on the air.
It's Jerry from Manassas. Remember me?
Hey, yeah, of course, Jerry.
Remember my brother Johnny?
Johnny and Jerry. Yeah, Johnny and Jerry are big winners.
Oh, hold on. We do remember you guys. Yes.
I thought you forgot about me, man.
No. Are you still fighting with your brother?
No. We made up, but...
good.
We went to Atlantic City over the weekend.
And do you go with your brother?
Well, there was 11 of us. It was my bachelor party. I'm getting married next week.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, congratulations. Thanks. Are you looking forward to the wedding?
Yeah, we're going to Alaska on our honeymoon.
You should have given us a call earlier. Or whatnot.
Johnny and Jerry.
Check it out. We were at the Tropicana.
Right.
And there was a bunch of us, and my cousin, he looks just like Felix Trinidad, the boxer.
Okay.
And we
don't see
there.
You don't see that much.
Say what?
I say never mind.
We walk in the casino, right? And my brother and my cousin, they're decked out in suits and everything. And you know, we're walking around them, so they thought that my cousin was Felix Trinidad.
And what happened, Jerry or Johnny?
They just upgraded our room to a suite for free.
Well, very nice. So you actually told them that you were this boxer.
Yeah, well, actually, the word spread around the hotel, and my cousin was standing by the door, and I just pointed at him, and they upgraded to a suite.
Hey, well, good for you. Listen, I will tell you one time, where were we?
Oh, boy, those casinos, people that run those casinos can sure be dumb.
Do you remember the time that we were a Final Four? I don't know what city we were in. New Orleans, maybe.
Right.
And at the hotel, this was a couple of years ago.
Right.
I signed in as George Clooney, as a goof.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the Miller Lite girls, the girls that were wrestling in that commercial that ran during the Super Bowl.
Right.
Do you remember that they sent to my room a bunch of Miller Lite and a handwritten note saying, "Dear George, we heard you were in the hotel."
Yeah, they wanted to get together with you.
Wanted to get together.
And then you went down and, you know, by the time you went down with a roll of duct tape.
Hello.
Not really George Clooney.
Not in my show. Hello. I didn't get anything like a fancy suite. I just got some free Miller beer.
You walked down to them and you said, "Let's French kiss."
Happy Pat. He said, "God, you're old." And then they said, "What's your problem, Baldy?"
We'd like to go to the room and whatnot.
Hello.
Hey, Donna Mike.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, greetings from Central Pennsylvania, WOYK.
Right.
The guy you're thinking of is Jim Fix, F-I-X-X.
Jim Fix.
That's right. You're right. That's the runner that ran himself to death.
Yes.
He's the runner that keeled over.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
He done keeled over.
Thank you. Good tip in. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike. This is Eric in Portland, Maine, States of America. How you doing?
Hello, Eric. Thank you for identifying the country, sir.
Well, I didn't want you to mistake me for Canada. Listen, I was watching a compelling documentary the other night on Nazi Germany, the whole Holocaust thing, and I don't know how to describe it. Have any of you guys ever been to Disney World?
Now listen, you have to listen to the whole show in context.
That is really going backwards, but it's relevant. I want to say in context, that's one funny-ass call.
It's very simply what a local reporter referred to the Reagan lying in the state situation as.
Have you ever been to Disney World?
Oh, it's exciting down there.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Guys?
Yes.
Hey, a lot of people on the radio are talking about how good Reagan was for the country. I made a game of turning off the radio before they say the second syllable.
You want to know the game I'm playing right now?
Uh-oh, eject.
Well, at least he knew.
All right, he guessed.
He knew to go away.
That's good. He guessed. That's a popular game.
You're learning.
It's called We Hang Up on You. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Like I said, Don and Mike Show.
And it's always after calls like that, isn't it? That people just let us twist.
You just get a lot of the breathing.
That's when people just say,
"Hello." And then he talks as I go to the next line. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don?
Yes?
Hey, Don. You know, I was just thinking, you know, when your wife dies, it'll be a couple days until her funeral, so you could actually arrange to skydive into her funeral.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that.
You two can discuss that over dinner tonight.
Hello.
You wouldn't want it that way.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Might take away from her, though. Here he comes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how y'all doing?
Yeah, I can't upstage her at her funeral.
No. No, but if it was a tribute, if you came down, like, holding a big picture of her.
Like that big picture.
Well, what if her picture was the shoot?
Yeah. Or what if it was, like, that big picture of Tiffany Darwish that we drove the bus through that time?
Yeah, a life size. Maybe, you know, in a way, it could be called a tandem jump.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Mike, I wanted to tell you, I know you're a Bo Sox fan. I think I can set you up with some tickets to see a game.
Alrighty, well, that's fantastic.
Okay, hold on, I'm going to put you on hold.
Alright.
The next sound you hear will be Mike's secretary. No, really, hold on. Hold on a second, let me make sure. There you go. Your secretary is handling it.
Thank you, Don.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey, we appreciate the free stuff.
We sure do.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, Buzz?
Yeah.
It's just a little pot!
It's just a little pot. That's what he said.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, quick flashback. Dennis Murphy skydiving.
You know what?
Yeah.
That was a great moment in the history of this show, was Dennis Murphy skydiving live on Sacramento's KHTK.
And it was a ballsy move on Dennis Murphy's part, because there was every chance that he wouldn't be able to pull the ripcord.
Right for now.
He had only a 50% chance of trying to pull the ripcord.
What is your name? What is your name?
Oh, I believe he's gone.
I think he's gone after screaming.
The guy hung up?
He did his show, and he's gone.
I'm like a beautiful lady from Chicago.
Well, let's just give away a prize here to the last caller. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're the last caller.
Oh, cool.
What be thy name?
My name is Dana, and I'm calling from Buffalo, and here's my thought.
Okay.
That all these world leaders who are in town for in the country for President Reagan's funeral and George Bush skydiving.
Yes.
Should maybe have a survivor show.
Okay, you're the last caller.
I have never heard a more worthy recipient of a prize.
True. You're the last caller. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You have won.
That is a great character voice.
Dana is a good voice for a boy or a girl.
Amen.
You've won an exclusive sleeve of Pro V1 golf balls with the Don and Mike Show logo on there, courtesy of Golfdom. Live the game. Plus, you've won the WWE pay-per-view Bad Blood this Sunday, Comcast or Cox Cable, and that's a courtesy promotional consideration, WWE.
Do you play golf, Dana?
Mini golf, anyway.
Mini golf?
Do you normally play with men or women?
Oh, I play with women.
Are you a man or a woman?
I am the man.
The man.
The man.
There you go, the man.
Man.
I thought
the
so.
Man. As opposed to a man. It's Pat.
The man. All right, thank you for listening. Hold on a second, please.
Thank you.
Got a break. Be right back with the whorehouse guy.
Ah. This is the Don and Mike Show.
And she was saying that she was 2 weeks pregnant. And I didn't believe it, because when you're just two weeks pregnant, you can't really tell just because you haven't seen your menstruation.
The Don and Mike Show.
Close.
Featuring new dimensions of hatred, the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, everybody, I know I told you before we'd have the guy from the comedian, Jerry Seinfeld,
Orny,
tomorrow. Orny, he's not till next week.
Ah.
So don't go out and buy it tonight.
Or rent it.
There's
or
time,
rent.
Then. Yes, yeah. We'll have him on next week. Tomorrow, somebody else.
Lex from Survivor, right?
Right, yeah, right. The guy that got screwed by Boston.
Yeah, with all the tattoos.
Yeah, the guy that got screwed by Boston Rob. Buzz, did you find that website?
Sure did.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I'm calling the guy now that's selling the whorehouse, right?
The PR firm for the whorehouse. He's handling the
okay.
sale. Yeah.
Who's this on this line? Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, why are you on hold? Hello?
Why am I on hold?
Yeah. Yes.
I was calling for the phone scan. I want to tell Mike, my wife...
That was the phone scan. Hold on. Here's another guy on hold. Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Hey.
I got the hair.
Pardon me?
I got the back hair.
Rob's back hair.
Got the back hair.
Rob's the back
guy,
hair.
Okay, the guy that won Rob's back hair. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. See, people really do win on the Don and Mike show.
Yeah.
Got Rob's back hair. So, for $7 million, you can own the Chicken Ranch Brothel.
Wow.
In Las Vegas. And, if I'm not mistaken, your $7 million buys you not only the property, but all the girls.
All the girls.
Hey, hey. All the girls. Garbage cans.
Garbage cans.
This is the place, the best little whorehouse in Texas. Mm-hmm. This was the place, even though it's in Nevada. The Chicken Ranch was named after the best little whorehouse in Texas.
Right.
It's being sold now. Let's call the guy. Oh, and incidentally, yes, not only do you get two double wide trailers, you do get 30 prostitutes.
Wow. You own them.
And it's only $7 million.
That's reasonable, especially considering it was just named Nevada Brothel of the Year.
With a bar, parlor, swimming pool, and three bungalows.
Now, Buzz, are you on the website?
Sure am.
ChickenRanchBrothel.com?
That's me.
Good afternoon, Fisherman Associate.
Yes, Bob, please.
Yes, one more.
All right, we're going to talk to Bob, who's...
It's cool. He knew we were calling.
Yeah. Ladies' pictures.
So we should we talk like this or talk like normal?
We'll talk like normal, but, you know, perhaps so. We'll
probably get
Well,
like
why don't
this.
We talk like this? It would
why
be
don't
fun.
We? I mean, it's not a goof. We'll still be
Tell us all about the girls. Are they beautiful?
The whores.
Are they lovely?
$7 million. Hello, is this Bob?
Yes.
Bob, it's Don and Mike. Welcome to the show.
Oh, well, how are you, Don and Mike? You're back in Washington, right?
Yes, we're all over the country, though, Bob.
We're broadcasting there in Las Vegas, also in Reno.
Oh, great.
Perhaps we could find some buyers for your property in, you know, out of the chicken ranch.
Wow. They're going, if you did, they're going to find a very unusual business out there.
Now, I'm curious, Bob, the prostitutes for the purchase price, how do I know that they're the finest prostitutes you have?
Well, unfortunately, that's the only thing that doesn't come with the sale. The,
Oh, no.
I probably had to break your heart. All the prostitutes that work there are independent contractors. They're not employees.
Wait a minute. Hold on, then. I don't understand. Because if I was paying for 30 prostitutes along with the famous Chicken Ranch brothel,
right?
I would think $7 million is a prize. But if there's no whores, what am I getting for my $7 million?
Yeah, look, you might be able to attract a lot better ones. I mean, you know, I mean, the Chicken Ranch is 160 years old this year, and I'm sure over the 160 years they've had, you know, a plethora of fine women come through there. So maybe you would consider the women there not good enough, and you might want to recruit your own stable.
I like diamond. You'll get your own stable.
Well,
what exactly is included in the fabulous purchase price of $7 million?
Well, the land is included. There's 40 acres. Then you talk with the structures that are on the land. There's a...
The double-wide trailers?
Well, there's been things added to the double-wide trailers. They added, in the late 80s, they added a very nice little bar to it. And then they built, about 5 years ago, they built a, in 99, they built a separate cottage that has three master bedrooms with a kitchen and a living room. And
after all the years, 160 years, are there any of the original prostitutes still around?
Only in memory. But this bungalow, you might like this. But each room is a different theme. One is a Victorian theme for those who are straight.
I don't like anything that has the word bung in it.
Well, another one is a jungle room.
A jungle room like Elvis Presley.
I'm sure for you all sorts of possibilities.
Let me ask you a question. This is regarding the girls there.
Right.
In the event that one was to purchase this property, would there
the
be
Chicken
a,
Ranch brothel?
Would there be any kind of contractual obligation that the current employees, and I'm talking about the girls, that they would have to stay with the property so that you could have some whores there while you were doing your business? I wouldn't want to make the transition and plunk down $7 million
and be whoreless.
Yeah, I mean, will they stick around or have they?
Well, I'm sure they would. I mean, assumingly they're there to do business and that place is still world famous and the people will still come unless you're a.
Let's say you're a whore working there. What's the dental plan you have now? What's the HMO? Well, what do you offer?
Oh, they have great things there. I mean, even though they're independent contractors, in addition to getting room and board, they provide financial counselors for them free of charge.
Wow.
And they take good care of them out there.
Bob, have you yourself, as a man, ever sampled the wares?
No, when I first started representing him in 82, I went out there and I spent a night. I slept in the bedroom of one of the gals that was on vacation. And the owner took me through, or the manager, not the owner, took me through. And he says, Bob, you know, take a good look. Anyone you want, it's fine. Well, unfortunately, I was happily married at the time.
Oh,
and,
dear.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's going around.
You know, I'm one of these dull people that grew up in the 50s that believe in monogamous relationships, and I tasted the product,
let me ask you something.
Product, so to speak. But,
this is totally unrelated to your business. We had a young man on the phone a while ago, Preston. I don't remember his last name.
Mercer, Don Preston Mercer.
He's the star of a reality show for Love or Money. Let me ask you something. When a man is going to kiss a woman and is going to use tongue, what do you call that?
French kissing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
He called us old.
I got the gong. Wow.
No, you got to chime. He called us old because that's what we called it.
I'm going to ask you a question that's kind of a basic question. It's
sure.
a financial question. If, say, you were going to eliminate the chicken ranch and you were just going to use the property,
right.
would the property itself be valued at $6.95 million?
Well, there's a lot more in the sale than the property and the structures. You've got things like royalties, licenses, mm-hmm. merchandise, websites,
T-shirts,
theatrical contracts. There's a lot in there besides real property.
Let me ask you something, though. With what you're selling, these 40 acres.
Well, let me say this.
Could you put a Walmart there?
Pardon?
Would the horse support a Walmart, a Home Depot?
Oh, certainly. In fact, we've had a couple calls, not for the business, but for the land. The Pahrump is right next to Las Vegas, and it's now, since Vegas has been built out, Pahrump is the next prime area, and the land out there is going like hotcakes.
What is the biggest bid you have right now for your chicken ranch whorehouse?
Well, it was just announced on Monday of this week, so there's been a lot of buyers and brokers called, but so far there's been no, it's in the stage of getting these people information, so there's been no bid so far.
And here's the million-dollar question. How is the plumbing?
You mean the facility or the people?
The plumbing for the facility.
The commodes.
The running water.
They run. I flushed myself the night I was out there, and it flushes fine. It runs.
So what you're saying is good toilets, nice broads, good value.
Right.
Good value. Have you thought about eBaying it?
eBaying, if that's interesting. Do you think people with that kind of money go through eBay?
Yep. Everybody goes through eBay.
Yep.
Please to pick a room that you like the most, that you'd recommend, the Wild West, Jungle, or Victorian.
Well, I don't know. I think since it's 160 years of age, I think I might go with the Wild West.
If you bought this property, would the prostitutes, after you closed on the sale, consider you a big shot?
Well, I think so. I think they would consider anyone that owns it. Now, are you saying big shot? In what context are you saying big shot?
Just, the man about town, the big deal.
Hey, Bob?
I was afraid you were saying in a sexual nature.
No, Bob, of course not.
Bob,
no, that's
speaking of that, because that's your business.
Is this a G or an R-rated program?
Well, it used to be R, now it's PG-13.
May I tell you, though, I can still say this. I like, when I go out to your neck of the woods, I like a nice Asian cutie. What say you?
Well, you obviously have international taste. You know, it's
Thank you.
It's a gourmet
place. How many Asian girls... Of the 30 whores that you have that are not included in the price of the ranch, how many current whores are Asian? Of the 30?
Oh, I would think there's got to be maybe 3 or 4 out there.
Three or four?
They change, and I haven't been out in that.
Yeah. Does the property come with a bus?
Come with a what?
Does the property come with a bus?
Or would a minivan suffice?
Well, it comes with limousines.
That's how many limos?
I think they have two. They used to have airplanes, too, because there's a landing strip that on the property.
Let's talk about landing strips.
That there is.
Well, they strip before they land. No, they used to. They used to have planes flying in from McCarran Airport, in Las Vegas. And in fact, the first time I went there,
Hold on, here's a call for you from Las Vegas. Excuse me, there, Bob. Here's Tim listening to us in Las Vegas. Tim, hello.
Hello, Don and Mike, Radio Gods. How are you today?
Come on, you talk in your regular voice.
All right. What's up, Don and Mike? Hey. I'm here in Vegas, and I got to tell you, the reason this guy's selling is because the brothel next door is outdoing him every night.
Is that true?
I wouldn't say that. He's referring to Sherry's, which is a brothel that moved in there about 6-7 years ago, I guess, or so.
They have good whores? Are their whores as good as yours? Or yours better?
Well, let me put it this way. No one has ever heard of Sherry's outside the city limits of Pahrump, but people know that people come there specifically from the chicken ranch from all over the world.
Is it true that when you go into Sherry's, you say, hey, come, they told me, Pahrump-a-pum-pum?
Finally, is there a lot of turnover in your business?
A lot of turnover? Yeah, there's a lot of turnover, but there's long lines waiting to get into it.
Well, is there any way you could get a better purchase price, like if you got in bed with the owners?
Well, actually, the purchase price is a deal. They did evaluations, and they value it at $8 million, and he's putting it up for basically $7 million. So he's already.
So you're saying it's a bargain?
Deal as it stands.
You're saying it's a bargain.
How long do you expect?
Wait, before 9/11.
Answer the question, Mike. What's your question?
How long do you expect this property to stay on the market?
Answer.
Based on the early results, I doubt it'll be around much more than a couple weeks.
Yeah. Very good.
When I visit you, may I use the back door?
Oh, you can come in through the chimney if you want.
There you go, Bob. That's a winning attitude.
Well, then we try to please.
Good luck selling the famous Chicken Ranch Brothel. Buzz, what can you tell us? You've been on the website, chickenranchbrothel.com.
I would find the money. I'd find the $7 million if there was some way I could keep Diamond on the staff.
Ah, Diamond. Hey, are you familiar with Diamond, Bob?
Diamond? Oh, yeah. Well, they have a wonderful menu of women on the website.
Yes, they do.
Menu.
Diamond is a real gem.
I'd like to order a number two.
To go or to stay?
And Bob, one last question.
In a world, yeah. We're owning
a radio. Before we let you go.
Right.
How tall are you?
How tall am I?
Yes.
About 5'10".
5'10".
He made it up.
All right, Buzz, with the news coming up, Bob.
Yes.
Pleasure talking to you again. It's chickenranchbrothel.com.
Right.
I'll take a number three. Don't supersize it.
Yes, siree.
And Bob.
Visit anytime.
And Bob,
yes.
You've been a great guest. Let me just say, get bent. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, wherever you are.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
You would like a number three.
Goodbye.
Actually.
Really, number three. Buzz is captivated with the hoods.
Now, I have a menu of services available, and
see, the thing
number three
me,
is right up your alley.
See, the thing to me, though, I didn't know. Well, really, what's number three?
Well, I'll tell you off the air. We have a new show now.
You think it's right up my alley?
Yeah.
Is there a picture? Can you?
No. It's but it involves that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to come over during the break and look at the website.
Anyway, if you want to buy it, it's $7 million.
I won't look at it on my computer at home. You know why?
Why?
Pop-up ads!
Yes.
You know, somehow that's gone from Las Vegas to Lombardi now.
Whoa! This is Vince Lombardi.
Hello, I'd like to buy the Chicken Ranch Brothel.
Lots of money.
Scared? What the hell is going on around here? That famous kind of Lombardi on the sideline.
I tell you right now, it's a ripoff.
Okay, whores, here's the play we're running. It's called the Power Sweep.
You whores should be aware of the task at hand.
Well, my whores. Kramer? Thurston? Greg?
I'm Vince Lombardi.
Horning?
Whoremaster.
Taylor? Star? The entire lineup.
Up to 1960 Green Bay Packers.
You get me Willie Wood right now on the phone. Elijah Pitts, where are you?
You can have the whole team for $6.95 million.
What's your lead story, Buzz?
Today, U.S. soldiers in Iraq have finally found the WMD.
Really?
Weed, marijuana, dope.
Oh, weed.
Hell, right.
Hold on. Where's there?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. That tape is right next to
Joe.
And everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crepa?
The Don and Mike Show.
Tough Guys, Don Geronimo and Michael Mira.
Time for Buzz's news and comments here now. Buzz brought to you by Viramax, world's number one sexual pleasure, performance enhancer. Number one, because it really works, it's doctor developed.
Someone call for a doctor?
Politically tested and patented Viramax. Viramax available in retailers nationwide. 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
The glossy magazine features a picture of an American soldier serving his country in Iraq. And inside, an interesting story about what he's seen there, along with the amazing photographs he's taken. But the magazine isn't Time, it's High Times.
High Times.
The spinoff called Growing America. And inside the new issue of that...
Buzz? Yes? I'd be remiss if I didn't say...
Yeah.
Oh, 619.
A fine morning, girl.
Yeah.
It's a great intro.
That is a great intro.
Great record.
Anyway, there's pot in Iraq?
Yeah, apparently so. Inside the new issue of this pro-marijuana magazine is a U.S. soldier by the name of Carlos Arellano.
Joe Arnger.
He says the buds of Baghdad are a beauty to behold, and that the just plain folk of Iraq have the biggest grin on their faces whenever the word hashish is spoken. Carlos says hookahs are everywhere in Iraq, and he says it's what draws people together there.
Now, you don't mean hookers. You mean those
hookahs,
like, those weird
water
like,
pipes, essentially.
The Beatles used when they got high with the
a little help from their friends.
The Maharishi.
Yeah, and they do we know anybody that owns a hookah? I do.
Oh, you do.
But as a matter of fact, it came from a United States Marine out of New York who got it when he was in Afghanistan, which is the other place our soldiers found it.
Really? You right. Own one.
I have a hookah. Yes, a genuine Afghani hookah.
And who are you?
I'm Buzz Burbank.
Sorry, you kind of walked into that when you said, I do. I walked into it proudly. I know you did. Thank you.
And make no mistake, it's not exactly Partyville in Iraq these days with thousands of Iraqis dead and thousands more suffering, but that's not stopping Saddam Hussein's daughter from getting a breast job as she lives a rich lifestyle not far from home. La la. Saddam's favorite daughter.
Hey, you just worked la la into a newscast.
It'll be back. Saddam's favorite daughter.
La la.
She's in neighboring Amman, living in the manner to which she'd become accustomed.
It's Amman, baby.
She spends her days working out at a health club, shopping, and getting her hair done, la la. And according to a new report, getting cosmetic breast surgery and maybe a tummy tuck.
Wow.
She had that plastic surgery done just after her brothers Uday and Kusay were killed by American troops, la la.
Well, no need to mourn. You know, it was their choice.
That's right. Not satisfied with scaring kids and old people off the internet, the big record companies are now going after anyone who tapes a song off the radio.
What?
Yep. The Recording Industry Association of America is asking the FCC to get involved.
Like they're not busy enough.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we need. More jobs for the FCC.
Perhaps this will distract them.
I only record music off a clear channel station.
Now, all of this comes as the FCC is just 10 days away from finalizing its rules about digital radio. The record companies haven't cared about radio taping before because, frankly, by the time you played it back, it didn't sound that good. But as radio becomes more digital on Earth, as it is by satellite, now the record companies care. Radio stations and the people who make radios and recording gear argue that this isn't even a problem.
It isn't. Come on.
Although I do remember back in the days of AM Top 40, right, when you would get a record, mm-hmm, and you would really be concerned that if you had the record, the other station didn't.
Right.
Like a disc jockey would come on every 30 seconds and go, this is a 13Q exclusive, because the thought is, mm-hmm, the other radio station would tape it off the radio
so
to
they
play
can
it.
Play
even AM? Mm-hmm.
Even AM.
Wow. Even AM.
Even AM. 1-300 AM.
DeForest
this
Kelly.
DeForest Kelly. From Star Trek. And, you know, for radio, I really noodled this through recently.
Mm-hmm.
What the biggest stumbling block is for radio, and I'm not saying this as a joke, it's not satellite radio.
Right.
It's not this new channel that Buzz is talking about where you could get more frequencies.
Right.
The problem with radio, the biggest thing that radio has going against it is cell phones. And I'm not kidding about this. Think about this. Think about 10 years ago. You're driving in your car.
Mm-hmm.
You're stuck in traffic. Hey, guess what? You've got a cassette player. Maybe you had a CD.
Oh, right.
You got the radio.
I get it.
Now you're driving around. You're bored. How do you entertain yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Call somebody.
I'll call somebody.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I'm coming into work, and unless I'm listening to, and I don't care, unless I'm listening to a good song like on XM,
mm-hmm,
I turn on this station, and I want to shoot myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, well, if I want to be entertained, I'm out of luck, because the only thing on when I'm coming to work is it's either Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly on every channel.
Right.
That's the only thing.
But on this show, you have to say that cell phones help us too, because really,
no, sure,
how many calls do we get? What are the majority? The majority of our calls are cell phone calls.
Which is why I'm saying that. I realize that. I understand that on our show. What I'm saying is, I don't think at any point during the show, except maybe when those folk singers were on yesterday, would you want to pick up the phone to say, oh, I've got something better going?
You want to hear what's coming up next.
Yeah. Now, of course, we're killed
if your phone rings, like right now while we're talking, mm-hmm. and your phone rings,
don't answer it.
I bet that we always lose, mm-hmm. that you always at least check the caller ID.
Yeah, but they probably don't answer.
Well,
yeah.
You know, here's the thing. You could answer because who are you blowing off? You're just blowing off a couple of guys on the radio.
Well, and usually the call that comes in should be, did you hear what Donna Mike is talking about?
Anyway, that's the enemy. That's what radio should start thinking about. Don't worry about satellite radio. Don't worry about the FCC. Let's get rid of cell phones.
And the problem with America right now, we communicate too much.
But still, radio is the best medium for communication.
Right.
And for a long time, people in radio didn't look at the positive that really that you have. You have a trapped, captive audience.
Sure.
I mean,
cars.
And especially back in the day,
mm-hmm.
before you had cassettes and 8-tracks, I mean, it was AM 1300 or AM 670, and those were your choices.
I wouldn't worry about the cell phones because really we're still number one with people that have no friends.
and
that's proven every single Friday.
Yes.
Tune in tomorrow.
Our producer has no friends.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like right in her wheelhouse.
Yeah, she had one and then she lost her yesterday. Well, we kicked her out.
Yeah,
we kicked her friend away.
Julie, her friend Julie from Cincinnati.
Julie, you had better watch what you say around the dog. He understands more than you realize.
This is your kind of story.
This won't seem like news to most dog owners, but a new study says dogs do understand language, and this is the first scientific proof of that. Researchers in Germany say they have a border collie who understands...
Hi, this is Wolfgang Juretzek from Germany.
From Germany.
Never forget.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Never forget. They say they have a border collie that understands more than 200 words and can learn new ones as quickly as many children can.
Retarded children or regular children?
No, just regular children.
Incredible!
The good news, they say, is the dogs cannot spell, which is why it's good to spell out words like vet, bath, and pill.
Incidentally, I only said retarded because I want to be like Lindsay
Lohan.
Lohan.
Yes. Yeah, Lindsay Lohan. Who
said it again? Incidentally, I know I mentioned this yesterday.
Right.
The American Retard Association is mad at her because they're using ARC?
ARC, American Retarded Citizen.
So she's quoted yesterday something about Britney Spears hurting her ankle or something.
Oh, yeah, her knee.
Her knee.
Yeah.
She's so retarded.
She does that.
But that's her hook.
I don't care how many words a dog can learn. You know, you still won't get it to stop licking down there.
No. And you really want that.
The Germans say their dog can identify dozens of toys by name and even without reminders remember those names for months afterward. The experiments continue.
All right, let's see. We got some taste of some dogs.
Good.
What's he saying, Buzz?
It doesn't sound happy.
Let's hear the next dog.
The big one.
All right, what about this? Here's a little poodle.
How do you expect me to understand any of that? It's all in German.
Somewhere in there actually is a dog. Somewhere in there. Oh, hold on. Phlegm. We'll have to wait for that one to recue.
Phlegm the rooster.
That's Phlegm the rooster.
Yeah.
That's back from our morning zoo.
Absolutely.
Hold on. Come on. Come on, Phlegm.
Oh, you got to wait, I think. That's
we got to wait a long time for Phlegm the rooster.
Got a long recue. On Phlegm the rooster.
We used to have Phlegm the rooster almost on a daily basis.
I see the alligators ready, Rob. I see the alligators recued. I see that. The flashing light would indicate it's ready. So is the cat meow. So is the vicious dog.
But the one we really want to hear is Phlegm the rooster. Yeah. And Phlegm the rooster is not ready yet.
Not ready. Still not queued up.
Phlegm the rooster is preparing to offer you some prepared comedy.
Here is Phlegm the rooster.
I'm telling you,
people used to love that.
Oh, it was a staple.
They used to love that.
That
had crazy morning zoo. They're acting crazy now, ain't they?
That woman,
our morning zoo.
There you go. That woman over there.
What woman?
Twirling her hair and giving you that look. Watch out, my friend. She may want your baby and not even realize it. In yet another argument for safe sex, a new study says women get more amorous on the day they're ovulating and the five fertile days leading up to that. The research indicates that for 6 days a month, women are looking to get pregnant even when they aren't looking to get pregnant.
That's how they get you.
A North Carolina professor of health sciences says, says a woman's libido kicks up 24% on those days.
And incidentally, that's where they did all the research. George Michael and his wife, Pat.
Welcome to News You Can Use.
George Michael.
The researcher says women may also give off more pheromones in that time, aromas that make her more attractive to a man.
I love pheromones, especially on a Caesar salad.
And as if all this weren't warning enough, the professor says having sex during those 6 days.
Oh, I get
days,
to say it again. What's a hormone?
Well, I don't know.
Stop hitting me. I promise I'll pay you.
You got to send that one out to, what's his name? You know, the guy that's
the guy with the whorehouse.
Yes. No, Groners. Send that into Groners. Yes.
Oh, hey. Hey, don't hurt me. You're
so
hurting me.
If all this weren't warning enough,
it's cold. Hey, that's cold.
It's cold. The professor says having sex during those 6 days accelerates the ovulation process, increasing the chances of pregnancy.
You just love those stories.
I'm trying to warn people.
Charlie Jones.
When does he ovulate? Or ovulate. Ovulate. Or
yeah.
What?
Okay, guys.
Okay,
thank you, Rudy.
How did a 15-year-old girl from Bloomington, Illinois, get into the R-rated movie Troy unaccompanied by a parent? Same way a lot of other kids are doing it, with a new pass card that pits convenience against parental responsibility. The kids take their parents one time to the box office where they pay $2 and sign some forms. The kid then gets a photo ID that allows them into any R-rated movie. Only one of the smaller movie chains is doing this so far. It's already stirred up controversy to the point of possible government involvement. No reaction yet from the Motion Picture Association, which rates the movies. Quoting one teenager, I like it because now we don't have to wait for it to come out on video.
Yeah, you know, and really, it's a decision that the parents should be able to make themselves.
If you give your kids a pass to go see any R-rated movie, you're giving them that level of responsibility.
But sure. But is that lazy? I mean, wouldn't you want to say, well, this R-rated movie's okay, and that R-rated movie not okay?
I really think that if you have an R-rated movie, you have an R-rated movie.
Hey, I got news for you. Mm-hmm. Life is X-rated, and I don't mean that like in the glamorous way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a cesspool out there. Everyday life is R-rated at
True.
Best.
True.
So at least our philosophy with Bart was we always let him see every movie that we saw, especially when we were that age when he was like 2 and just old enough to go out and he or even 3 when he would start to understand what was going on. If we took him to do a movie and there was sex, we would just say, those are people that love each other. Those would be like mommy and daddy who love each other.
I mm-hmm. said that to my kids the other day when we were when we went to see Soul Plane.
Just life.
It was wonderful. I said, this is real life.
We take him to a movie that has like a lot of shooting and stuff.
I said to my daughter, Snoop flies the plane in real life too.
it's just made up stuff.
That's right.
And my kids turned out okay. I mean, it was shaky there for a while,
sure.
But I think he's made it through the other side okay, and he saw plenty of dirty movies and also violent movies. We let him go. What the hell?
If the celibacy movement ever got started among young people, this could be the end of it. A new study, again from Germany, where they love the experiment.
Germany,
this is Wolfgang Juretzek from Germany.
Hi there.
Never forget.
What?
The Don and Mike Show.
We never forget.
This new study says students who have a sex life make better grades than those who don't.
All right, just tear that up.
Okay.
Just throw that story away.
As soon as I finish it.
My God.
Sociologist Werner Habermehl.
Hi.
Says he and his people.
He's in the back of the studio right
yes.
now.
Hi, Werner.
Hi. Make love.
Hi, this is Werner Habermehl. I would like them all to continue to have sex and get good grades.
And I think they should go to R-rated movies as well.
Yes, Major Hochstetter.
And buy me that whorehouse, Clint.
6.95 marks.
And get me the guy from Love or Money.
He's a tool.
Werner and company tested students before and after sex. They found that mental capability was increased for those college students, while the celibate students had a bit more of a struggle.
They tossing that in there.
Forever.
a good reminder.
Directed
really.
At no one in general.
Everyone in general.
Everybody in general, yeah. No one in particular, excuse me, everybody.
The celibate students took longer to finish exams and made lower grades on the tests when they took them.
All right, well, I'm not buying it.
All right.
I think it's fixed.
That's your right.
And also, since I love to comment about my family on every story, that's what we did with Bart as well. From the time that he was like 7, we said, go ahead, have sex, go crazy.
Thanks for using that, Abe.
I'm sorry, when he was 8.
No.
9?
Nope.
How old was your daughter yesterday?
9.
9. Okay, well, then when he was 9.
No, you know the standard age that I always ask you for. 30. Thank you. Thank you very much.
7 years old, he said, this is a condom. This is how you use it.
No.
Now, go off to preschool. Have a great day. Come home tonight. We're going to watch Terminator 2.
But get good grades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get good grades or Daddy's going to take away your condoms and all your R-rated movies.
Boy, what focus.
You want to what's it up next? This is normally where we break.
No, I know.
That's what I was expecting.
See, I was seeing.
Yeah.
I knew that you knew, but I didn't know if you were going to say something. Yes.
Up next.
Time for the break. What's next, Buzz?
Man killed by runaway power tool.
Okay, we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
They share common interests. Don and Mike.
Here's a nice happenstance. You go through the whole year and the NBA is always on. You take it for granted. Then you come to a night like tonight. I'm talking with the boys. What am I going to do socially? Me? What am I going to do socially? I'm going to go home. I'm going to have the same dinner that I have every night.
What is that?
Something good for me. Something that doesn't taste good that's good for me.
Right.
And I balance that out by having a nice big drink.
Well, there you go.
And then I'm looking here, and look at this. This is where it's like, yes, the NBA season should have ended 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 months too long. But God, am I happy this is on tonight. I'm saved. 9 o'clock, Pistons, Lakers,
mm-hmm.
game is in Detroit. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for Detroit to kick some Laker ass tonight.
And the series tied at 7 games apiece.
Mike, either tied at 7 or 9.
Very excited.
And they're playing the best of 18.
It's a great series.
Unless they're tied. Then we got to start all over again. And that means Sacramento gets back.
Yeah, but how many sports wrap it all up on the 4th of July?
The amazing thing is I was just reading about the Sacramento series. Everyone is given a check for either $1 or $1 million.
Anyway, that's like a great surprise.
Right.
That's how shallow I am.
Mm-hmm.
That I went...
It excites you.
Wow. A championship game. I've totally forgotten it's on tonight.
Big time basketball.
Fantastic. And
there you go.
I love watching the Lakers lose. I just love watching them lose.
Everybody does.
And I love watching them lose in their white unis.
Where is it tonight? Where is the game?
It's in Detroit.
It's in Detroit tonight.
In Detroit. Be great. And there's that guy for Detroit that got his face all smashed up.
Yeah, he wears the weird Hannibal Lecter mask.
And I tell you what, that's almost worth getting your face smashed up because doesn't that look intimidating as hell?
Yeah, especially like when you're under the basket and you go, have the lamb stopped crying, Clarice? Shaquille, I'm watching you, Shaquille. I'm going to have you over for dinner. And then right before he's going up for a rebound, you go...
Mike, you kid, but I'm telling you, you want a way to get the Shaq?
Sure.
You want a way to get the Shaq?
Am I scared, big man?
What's up, Don?
How are you doing? I'm sorry, whenever he does Shaquille O'Neal, I have to do Dennis.
It's Shaq and Dennis.
Yes.
We've told you before about construction accidents in which some guy took a nail to the head or the heart and lived.
Get to know Charlie.
Today's story does not have such a happy ending.
Oh, no!
Get to know Charlie.
No, no, no!
Perhaps because instead of a nail gun, this time it involves a power saw. The saw got away from a workman in Cape Coral, Florida.
Winner!
Bounced off of something and back toward him.
Winner!
It severed his neck, at least severely enough to kill him. Government safety officials are investigating.
Winner!
If it's not written off as a freak accident, it may mean new warnings and even new designs for power saws.
Uh-huh. Let me just say this.
Oh, we're sorry.
We are.
Okay, next.
It appears the casino that inspired the TV show Las Vegas is on the verge of being gobbled up by MGM.
You're talking, of course, about the great Mandalay Bay.
That's right, and it is great. The MGM is out to build the biggest gaming empire in the world. It already owns the Grand, New York, New York, the Bellagio, the Mirage, and Treasure Island. News of the merger sent Mandalay stock way up, which is too bad for the founders because they recently unloaded most of their stock.
Here's the problem. What? This is what worries me. What was great about Las Vegas was all of those, you know, they weren't little guys. They were big money guys.
Right.
But they were all in cutthroat competition, and they were all trying to compete with each other to build the biggest and the best. And if they're all gobbled up, guess what happens next?
But Mike, maybe
prices go up, quality goes down.
But maybe it'll be like Walmart.
Exactly.
Just so long as they don't touch Circus Circus, because I like going walking in the clown's mouth.
There you go.
I think it's safe.
Well, we're big fans of all of those places out there.
We love Mandalay.
But Mandalay Bay is good.
I hate it when everything gets gobbled up. It inevitably is going to mean less quality.
Yeah. I think that
is inevitable.
But what do you want? A mom and pop operation? No, you don't want
a mom and pop.
Glitz and glamour.
You want those slicky boys that are all trying to be who's the slickest of the slicky boys.
How you doing?
Well, how you doing?
Hi. Buzz, what's up with your outfit today, as long as we're talking like this?
I'm going into the casino business.
He wanted to dress nicely for you, T.
I forgot we've already identified Buzz's wardrobe as Paulie Walnut.
That's right.
It's a general.
That's a tribute. Poor old Baltimore. As if Charm City didn't have enough of an inferiority complex. Now it's also been dissed by Starbucks.
Oh my.
You'd think Baltimore wouldn't care, since it has a coffee house that predates the American Revolution. Most of the Brazilian coffee that came to the U.S. in the late 1800s came through Baltimore's port, and Baltimore was the birthplace of modern coffee packaging. But Baltimore is the little brother who keeps trying to get into the game. Minneapolis has 15 Starbucks locations.
And that sounds like a small number, because Minneapolis is a big city.
Right. Austin, Texas has 14 Starbucks.
That's a small city.
Washington, D.C. has 44. Baltimore has 6.
Hmm.
One of them is in a Safeway store.
Buzz.
Mayor Marty O'Malley was at a coffee convention.
Hello, Marty O'Malley.
He was at a coffee convention in Vegas recently to try to get more Starbucks into his town.
We don't have enough Starbucks. Where's Marty Bass?
I'm at a coffee convention. My name's Marty O'Malley. I'm crying for Java.
Now, here's proper use of the word A. Starbucks has agreed to open a new location in Baltimore by the end of the year. And a few more next year.
You know, I don't get this.
Who cares?
Well, here's what I don't get. I would care if I lived in Baltimore and went to another city. Baltimore is, and I speak affectionately about Baltimore, like I do, like a lot of the markets that we're in.
Sure.
Markets that are big cities, but not big enough to be major big-time cities. But there's like 2 million people.
That's a big city.
2 million people in the Baltimore market. Mm-hmm. Probably a million people in Baltimore itself. You only got six.
No matter to me. You can get a perfectly decent cup of joe at Polack Johnny.
I know you can. I know there's a lot of things that Baltimore has that other cities don't have. But it seems to me they should have more than... Yeah, they got syphilis. They got Polack Johnny. They got Marty Bass.
Marty Bass! I like my joe!
But they need more than... And Buzz... Yeah, I'm glad you said the one at Safeway. Because that one doesn't count as a Starbucks.
No, not really.
Because the one thing that you know, no matter what city you're... Does that count, the airport?
I'm not sure. I think there's one at the airport. I know that there's one in the Inner Harbor, but that's really more for the tourists.
Palmer Washington International.
Not really convenient for the people of Baltimore.
You know, that's really not like what you want to hear if you're thinking about moving to Baltimore. You know, it's a happening city. It's got a good image. They're redoing it. Okay, they've got a problem with syphilis, but they're redoing it. But, gee, I'd love a cup of coffee. Well, there's only six in the entire city.
Who needs that caffeine? Have a nice natty bow.
Soon to be seven. Liz Taylor has settled out of court with the gardener who says he was fired because he wouldn't have sex with the butler. The former landscaper was suing her for nearly $300,000 in lost wages. He said Liz's butler came on to him complaining that he was, quote, tired of jumping on the old trampoline, end quote.
Would you like to see her clothes? Would you like to come up to the closet and see her clothes?
The old trampoline was apparently a reference to the butler's belief that he was pressured to have sex with Liz.
I thought it had to do with Liz's stomach.
I don't think I can work here anymore, even though the curly cure shrubs were nice.
You have to move.
I'll meet you in Baltimore at Starbucks.
They only have six, soon to be seven.
I'll meet you at the one in the Safeway.
Very good. Looking forward to it. Then we can get some produce.
Baltimore just been passed across my... You realize Baltimore is a top 20 media market?
It is.
Meaning out of all of the cities in America, it's among the 20 largest.
20 largest. Large and in charge. Just like Liz was.
Six Starbucks.
Finally, the game's not the only thing on TV tonight. At last check, MTV still had not decided whether to leave in or edit out a comment by Adam Sandler during the taping of tonight's MTV Movie Awards. He and Drew Barrymore were winners for their movie 50 First Dates. In their acceptance speech...
Okay, say no more about the quality of the MTV Movie Awards.
Yeah, really, winners on what... Did they mention what category?
No.
Please don't tell me it was Best Picture.
I don't want to spoil it.
Best Retards.
Just have to watch and see. In their acceptance speech, Drew thanked the state of Hawaii where the movie was shot.
Right.
Sandler then added his thanks to the people of Hawaii who supplied him with weed. I'm Buzz Burbank.
You love that.
Don and Mike Show.
That's what they're thinking about editing out on the show?
Yeah, well, they're very sensitive.
Like, not when Eminem drops the F-bomb, as apparently he does 1,000 times.
That weed is scary.
All right, that's it. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. I'll see you up in Baltimore tonight at the Safeway.
Safeway Starbucks.
Make that grande, please.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it. We got to go. Good day to you, sir.
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 La-la.
I'll see you at the Bravo Seltzer Tower.
Save me some syphilis.
Smoke them if you got them.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.